America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The Federal Communications Commission today has, in fact, approved relaxing media ownership rules. Today's vote lifted most restrictions on the multiple ownership of newspapers and radio and TV stations in large cities. FCC Media Bureau Chief Kenneth Foray today called existing rules, quote, outdated.
While the march of technology has brought us unprecedented access to information and programming, our broadcast ownership rules continue to reflect a bygone era. Our rules are about as rusty as they can be.
The 3-2 vote split commissioners along party lines, with three Republicans in favor of the deregulation and two Democrats opposed. Commissioner Michael Copps was one of those who wanted to leave the current rules just as they are.
The Federal Communications Commission empowers America's new media elite with unacceptable levels of influence over the ideas and information upon which our society and our democracy depend.
Opponents to the relaxation are likely to carry their fight now to both Congress and through the courts. British Prime Minister Tony Blair is again finding himself forced to defend accusations his government rewrote the Iraq intelligence dossier it published last year in order to bolster the case for invading Iraq. Two former senior cabinet ministers made the fresh allegations over the past weekend. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Former leader of the House of Commons, Robin Cook, who resigned over the war in Iraq, says the government sent troops into battle on the basis of a mistake, while former International Development Secretary Clare Short, who quit after the conflict, accuses the Prime Minister of duping the country into going to war. But speaking at the G8 summit in France, Mr. Blair said he stood 100% behind the evidence published in the dossier.
The idea that we doctored such intelligence is completely and totally false. Every single piece of intelligence that we presented was cleared very properly by the Joint Intelligence Committee.
The Prime Minister insists new inspections will prove he and the British intelligence services were right about Saddam Hussein's weapons, and he's called for more time for evidence to be gathered. Suzanne Chislett, London.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time party training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Suspected serial bomber Eric Robert Rudolph was in federal court in North Carolina this morning. He was read his rights and heard a full counting of the 21 charges he's now facing. Rudolph waived his right to enter a plea in North Carolina and will now enter a plea in Alabama, where he's first facing charges in the bombing of an abortion clinic. President Bush has left the G8 summit in Evian, France, to travel to the Middle East for Hill Hole discussions on the implementation of the U.S.-backed Roadmap for Peace, as it's called. Mr. Bush is scheduled to meet with Arab leaders tomorrow in Egypt before he sits down with both the Israeli and Palestinian prime ministers on Wednesday.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Chinese health officials are reporting no new cases of SARS today. It's the first time there have been no new infections since the country began releasing infection figures on April 20th. More from Far East correspondent Celia Hatton, Beijing.
Chinese officials announced two new deaths, but both were outside of Beijing, allowing the Chinese capital to celebrate the first day since the start of the outbreak in which no new cases or deaths were reported. Beijing has already cut the number of SARS-only hospitals in the city from 16 to 7, although theaters, swimming pools, and dance clubs remain closed. More than 5,300 people have been infected with SARS in China since the disease first emerged in the southern province of Guangdong last November. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
On the financial front, new construction spending dropped unexpectedly for the month of April, slipping 0.3% to its lowest level since December. Fall marks the third straight decline in new construction, which now stands at an annual rate of $862 billion. Survey shows a decline in both single-family home and non-residential construction numbers. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimens were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top three favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers. Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number one private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and welcome, everybody. Jolene Jordan, welcome to you as well.
Well, schnizzle my nizzle, you are back. Do you know what that is?
Schnizzle my nizzle, no.
That's the Snoop Dogg. I'm going to see him in concert tonight.
Really?
So I thought I'd do a little Snoop Dogg lingo for you.
And today, he says, schnizzle my nizzle. Well, sounds like something from a kid's show.
Well, this is this whole language in that whole rap, hip-hop kind of world, and everything has an izzle in it.
Right. I'm so out of it with that stuff, I'll tell you. I mean,
The only reason I am not out of it is because I'm married to a younger man. He's pretty much into that lingo still.
Well, that's good. Well, you'll have to tell us about it. Isn't he have some bad stuff associated with him, or is the Snoop Dogg okay?
You know, I think the Snoop Dogg's pretty cool. He's going pretty mainstream.
That's good.
Doing movies and
all right. Yeah, none of that gangsta stuff.
No, not anymore, really.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Pretty good.
And he's from where? Long Beach?
I don't know.
Isn't that... that's like a big scene out there right in it. Not Long Beach. What is it?
Compton.
Compton. That's right. Compton. Same area. Hey, do you think it's fair, I was thinking about whether this is an exaggeration or not, to say this is another day in American history that will live in infamy? Usually we think of December 7th, 1941, or September 11th, 2001, when there was this incredible attack on the United States, a loss of life, an external enemy attempting to do as much harm to us as possible. And to associate with the kind of language I'm using, I mean, we're talking about, maybe it is hyperbole, that this will be another day, June 2nd, 2003, a day that will live in infamy because this is another nail in the coffin of the free press. This is the Federal Communication Commission has voted, I like the way they put it, to ease media ownership rules.
They make it sound so nice.
And yeah.
They put it in such a nice little, they present it in a neat little box with a bow.
This is Pravda now. This is what we'll have. We'll have some network like Clear Channel owning all the TV stations, all the radio stations, and all the newspapers in your town. And
yeah, one message, basically. You're going to get one message, as if it's not bad enough as it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes me realize more and more how fortunate we are to even have a voice.
You mean here on the IE America Radio Network?
Right.
Well, for sure. And some of these, you know, these smaller little networks, I mean, I used to think they were big because they had like 20 stations, 20 radio stations or something like that, and a media giant. And it's not just giantism. It's not just the fact that they don't have live and local programming anymore. You know, they'll do things. There's a station in Flint, Michigan, and I somewhere or other on my console here, I have the story, but I don't think I need all the details. And they have weathermen that are in the Flint studio. But then, wait a minute now. Sam, that's what I do need.
How does that go?
Well, they have somebody in Maryland who does weather for all over the country.
Oh, sure. All you have to do is get rip it off the wire and read it. That's probably what they're doing, huh?
And so they say, hi, Flint, today, you know, we're going to, and this guy's sitting in Maryland. And one of the things, though, every once in a while, these folks, what does that mean? She doesn't know what that means. I don't know what that means. That's what Char just wrote on the station. Oh, you don't know what the...
Schnizzle manizzle?
My nizzle. She said, you don't know what that means. I think that's the message. Let's continue onward.
All right.
So it's not just the fact that you're going to be having DJs sitting in San Diego that are going to be recording your live and local commentary for, you know, your stations all over the country. It doesn't mean that good jobs and good union jobs from my union are going to be lost because of this centralization. It essentially means this unitary message. That's why we call it on this broadcast the medium. It's not any longer the media. It's not a plurality of voices. And this, and why is it Pravda? It will be the party line. It's going to be the right-wing Republican line. How do we know this? Do you remember who the CEO of Clear Channel is by any chance?
Is it Larry Mays? Or?
I can't remember. But anyway, he is a buddy of Bush.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so he's a...
Of course, and the Powells.
Yeah, and the Powells. So you have this racket that is so obvious that if we saw it in any other country, we'd be horrified. We'd think, this can't be democracy. You have this centralization of ownership and hence the ability to define reality. What's power? The ability to define reality. Because people act in terms of that. What kind of information do they get other than whether their lawn needs mowing anymore from, you know, directly? So everything that used to be lived directly is now this representation. It gets represented through this medium. And if you have lots of them, it's media. If you have a single, it's a medium.
So, it really is frightening.
Yeah. And also you had the specter of a Clear Channel having these pro-war rallies. And then you have one of the powerful people in the Bush regime's government, Colin Powell. His son is running the game where this centralization of ownership occurs, which will be the centralization of the unitary message of power, which is the unitary message of the right-wing Republican Party. And it's being run by the son of a Bush operative.
Is the word incestuous?
It's corrupt.
Yeah.
This is why this society now is corrupt to the core. There's always been corruption. There's been lots of periods of, you know, mass corruption in the United States. But the fundamental institutions of this society have been thoroughly, absolutely corrupted. Whether or not there is possibility of reform is an open question.
Hey, whether or not Bill Clinton did this to begin with or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, Clinton opened the doors, the floodgates with the Telecommunications Act. And at least the Democrats, can you imagine this? They're actually saying, hey, maybe this isn't such a bad idea. Maybe it isn't such a good idea. It isn't such a good idea. And they're talking about introducing legislation that would stop this process, this giveaway.
And then how about reversing it?
Reverse it. Yeah, yeah. And we're going to be talking about this issue more fully in about 3 hours. I'll be doing it at the dinner table in 3 hours.
Won't I? you're going to have a long show today.
Yeah.
Peter.
So at Eastern time, 4:30, we'll be talking with Danny Schechter. What does he say, Danny Schechter, the media?
I don't know.
He's got a little rhyme with his name.
With Media Channel. He produced for the big networks for about 10 years, and he has a book called What Is It? Media Wars, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is something else. He's great.
And Media Wars, News at a Time of Terror, and he's the executive director of Media Channel. Media
right.
Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that.
Media Channel.
Thank you. Media Channel.
I think it's kind of a play on Clear Channel.
Yeah, and it's .org. All right, let's get some calls. And here's Susan from Huntsville, Alabama. Susan, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Jalene.
Hi.
How's it going?
Great.
Well, Peter, I just missed you in Santa Fe. I was out there for a visit.
Oh, that would have been nice if you could have been there at the same time.
Oh, it would have been great. It's just the best, isn't it?
It is. Santa Fe is wonderful. Almost as good as Detroit, where I live.
Almost. I used to live in Detroit, too.
Oh, that's right.
A long time ago.
Yep.
I have to compose myself.
Okay.
I just got off the phone calling my congressional leaders. So upset about the FCC thing. How could we have any more proof than the fact, proof of the corporate-controlled media, than the fact that there was no coverage until the last minute, except for C-SPAN, of course.
I thought there was some out there.
There was a little bit, but, you know, it came very late.
Mm-hmm. Also, this doesn't mean a great amount to most people. They assume that their lives are run by corporate giants, and it's kind of a little, what appears as a tweak in it one way or the other, I don't think means a tremendous amount to them. And unless there's commentary like we're involving ourselves in, which is the problem. There's not much of that.
Well, there isn't much. And I say, let's all follow the career of Michael Powell when he leaves this little cushy job that probably doesn't pay him quite enough and probably becomes CEO of...
Of something.
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing that I wanted to quickly let everyone know about, if they don't know already, go to voiceforchange.org.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yes, and they've got a good
four.
Email.
It's a numeral four, right.
It is the numeral four, correct.
Yeah.
They've got an email composed already that you can send to your representatives demanding an independent counsel investigation about the Bush administration's lies for starting the war.
Oh, that's very important, because what we need is a special prosecutor for the Bush.
We need a special, yes.
Absolutely. I'm going to talk more about that. Susan, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks again for your show.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
We need the Ken Starr of...
And I bet you we could find out the crimes of George W. Bush and his administration and probably spend about $6 million rather than the $60 million they spent on Bill Clinton and found nothing.
Yeah, well, we could do that for free right here.
Yes. Here's Kaisha in Detroit. Kaisha, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome. You're in my hometown.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I just want to say I listen, and I don't listen as much because I feel as you all don't have enough black representation on your show. And my question is really for Jolene.
Yeah.
She came on and she said, was it for shizzle, my nizzle?
Something
I was just
like
wanting to know, did you know what that meant?
Well, you know what? I'm thinking that it's something that's kind of naughty.
Yeah, it is.
Because I don't know what it means. I was just repeating what I told you. My husband says all of these little things, these pop, you know, culture different sayings. So I'm having a feeling, as I sat here during this segment, maybe it was naughty.
Yeah, it was. It was inappropriate. And for you to say that, me as a black woman, I'm offended by you saying that.
Well, you have to know that I didn't know what I was saying.
Well...
Maybe now I would never say it again.
That you, if you don't know what they mean. I just want to let you know that, like I said, I do listen here and there. And by you all not having enough black representation on your show, and then for you to say that, I was very much offended by it.
Well, I apologize.
That's okay.
Thank you, Kaisha.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Yeah.
Peter, I was naughty. I didn't even know it.
And Char just has her head down, had her head in her, head in her hands, and she's shaking it. Well... It don't mean much to me other than the fact we may have offended Kaisha. And,
I didn't mean to at all.
I know. I'm
not
curious.
At all.
Well, ask Troy what it means.
Well, and I wonder if it's offensive that he, you know, in general, when Snoop Dogg says it.
I don't know. It's got to be a sexual thing.
It is.
Don't you
think? I already figured it out. It doesn't take much to figure out, Peter.
Here's something that you might like, although it's nothing we should really laugh at. There was this man out in Whittier, Washington, that was dropping anti-abortion leaflets from a Perelite sky cruiser, a plane. He flew over the La Serna High School campus on Thursday,
right?
And he was tossing them out. Now, this is terrible. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. But he accidentally stuck his hand into the aircraft's propeller blades, severing two fingers before he crashed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, he
that's offensive. Come on, someone call and give him a hard time.
All right. The pilot, identified as Michael Grumbine, age unknown, tumbled out of the sky and struck a tree and fence on the campus. And they believe that he was the man was a parent of a former La Serna student. But, you know, this is how crazy these nutballs are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he was flying so low that he was throwing out these bright yellow pennant-shaped leaflets that fluttered down, and the leaflet said, "You are in the Matrix. Truth is evil. Abortion is good. There are people in front of the school with signs and pictures right now that you must not look at because there was a anti-abortion demonstration there. They will show you things you must not see. You must not talk to them."
Maybe he's taking over for Eric Rudolph now that he's been caught.
Yeah, you know that there are these people up there in North Carolina that are putting up signs like on their motels, "God bless Eric Rudolph." I thought we were against terrorism. Here's a man that blows off bombs. I guess if you mostly do it to African-Americans and gays and women that want abortions, it's okay. These people are a pack of sickos.
Yeah, in his town really did support him. Some people did.
Wow. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Now at Radio Shack, make Dad's day with a Dish Network satellite system and get 3 free months of the America's Top 100 Value Pack with HBO and Cinemax when you sign up for a year. Plus, get $25 back by mail from HBO. That's right, 3 free months of HBO and Cinemax and $25 back. That's over $170 value. Dish Network satellite TV for Father's Day at Radio Shack.
Not available everywhere for new first-time residential customers through 730-103 with free dish offer and credit approval. Free dish after $49.99 bill credit. Prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. Fees and restrictions apply. Hardware and programming sold separately. Details in store.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werbe, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werbe, as we make plans to take back our country.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
Beep, 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 yeah. Drive me home.
Public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, the Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and Rad.
Beep, 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 yeah.
to the show. It's Peter Werby. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Jalene Jordan. Welcome back to you. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been laughing at that man who got his fingers cut off.
Peter.
Right? I know. But
did
he was,
someone call and give you a hard time?
Yeah, no, they haven't. But he was tossing anti-abortion leaflets out of this airplane to these kids.
What a nut.
Right? And we said also that Eric Rudolph, rather than being universally condemned, is actually getting support in some of these rural North Carolina towns with signs up on motels saying, God bless Eric Rudolph.
Right. I read something in the paper yesterday about this very thing and about how people really, there are a lot of folk who believe as he does and thought it was heroic of him.
To bomb people?
Abortion clinics, yeah.
And gay bars, and what about the Olympic Village? Well, maybe that wasn't such a good target.
That one was all about, I can't remember what it said, his sister-in-law, said what that was all about.
Hey, you know, I've had I only worked one day last week here, and
I know.
So I had stuff that has been hanging around. And did you talk a little more about how that the Saving Private Jessica Lynch has a whole sense of it now is that with another staged event that that the Iraqis actually tried to return Private Lynch to the American forces and
in
couldn't.
An ambulance. The ambulance was shot at.
Yeah, and I think we did talk a little about that, right? And then when finally they came there with all these television cameras, rolling, they said, "Well, here's the key to the door; you can get in." And they said, "No," and they broke it down and what have you. But there's even more to it. Now, the U.S. troops were tipped off to Lynch's whereabouts by a Nasiriyah hospital by an Iraqi lawyer who, at great risk, walked 6 miles until he found some Marines. And of course, the great risk was that the Marines would have shot him. Now, that's all very interesting. Buried at the end of this story in the May 25th Chicago Sun-Times is some very interesting stuff. A story in the Toronto Star and another in the Times of London also raised questions about the U.S. version of events. The Iraqi lawyer, Mohammed Adan al-Raif, and his family were whisked off to the United States. So he tells them where Jessica Lynch is. He's whisked off to the United States. And the ending to the story, asked this story in the Chicago Sun-Times, al-Raif now has an office with a Washington lobbying firm, the Livingston Group. Now, who is the Livingston Group? The principal is the former powerful Republican House member, Robert Livingston. He was from Louisiana. And after Newt Gingrich was bounced out of office for sexual misconduct, they put in Robert Livingston, who then admitted to a little deal of his own, kind of a Clinton-esque escapade of his own.
Oh, lovely.
And with his own book and other deals pending, al-Raif is not saying much.
Of course he
is. There anything that comes out of the Bush gang that is not a racket, not corrupt, not suspect, not a lie, not self-serving, not toxic?
I can't think of anything.
I think he said it was Monday. I mean, that's about as high as you can get. Hey, support our troops. A lot of a lot of emotion swirling around that fairly imprecise slogan. If you think about it, remember we've asked people exactly what do you mean? I mean, one of the things we always said: support the troops, bring them home, and more so now they're getting killed every single day over there.
Not only that, some of the Iraqis are threatening suicide bombings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just very reminiscent of other parts of the Middle East.
Yeah, Afghanistan has just gone totally back into warlordism. But I see our time is going, and we're going to have a guest on the half hour, right?
We do.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Am
I the producer of this
show? Yes.
Well, first we're going to have Jim Hightower.
Yeah, that's right.
And we can't forget that. And second of all, we're having Salih Booker.
Yeah.
From Africa Action.
Right.
And we're going to be talking about G8.
Yeah, that big meeting over there where there's all sorts of demonstrations. Hey, here's what I want. Support our troops. Well, that's a great slogan, but is that really meant? You know, Bush cut the funding for VA hospitals and what have you. The U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs estimates that more than 275,000 veterans are homeless on any given night, and at least 500,000 are homeless at some time during the year.
Support your troops.
Support your troops. What, you can have all your parades. But we have the men and women, particularly the men that serve the United States in the armed forces, and 500,000 of them are homeless. This is a racket, folks. I'm Peter Werbe. Jalene Jordan is with me. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werbe Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Flight attendants with Southwest Airlines began demonstrations at airports in Texas last week as contract talks turned to issues of pay.
We're just out at the airport doing a friendly demonstration. We have been in contract negotiations for over a year, and we're trying to negotiate a contract that will enable our Southwest Airlines flight attendants to continue providing the excellent customer service that they have for 33 years.
Tom McDaniel of Transport Workers Union Local 556 says Southwest flight attendants should be paid for all the time they spend on the job rather than simply time spent in the air.
We spend several hours a day working, turning the airplanes and cleaning the airplanes, for which we're not paid for.
McDaniel says that transport workers hope to resolve economic issues in the next 60 days. Median pay for Southwest flight attendants is less than $25,000 a year, a rate 20% below the industry average, making Southwest's flight attendants among the lowest paid in the U.S. airline industry.
A new report from a Delhi-based labor rights group says India's tea industry is in a state of near collapse. Faced with increased exports from Indonesia and Vietnam, which has depressed the global market price of tea by nearly one-third over the last 5 years, tea plantations in India have slowly been failing. Now the Center for Education and Communication reports that since the price of tea began falling, more than 60,000 people have been thrown out of work, and workers on at least 9 plantations haven't been paid since October of 2000. As a result, some plantations are being looted as workers divide up this year's crops among themselves as payment. The average daily wage for Indian tea plantation hands is about $1.60. The CEC says if the tea industry would first guarantee the basic living needs of plantation workers, it would go a long way to both increasing production and improving the quality of the crops.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
We're reaching a point where we can't turn back. Or let's lose the guns and let's lose the bombs. Or stop the corporate contributions that they've built upon.
Well, I'll be sleeping on the streets until I start to snore. Cause I won't carry guns for an oil war. A salam, or a liquor, or a liquor salam. Peace to the Middle East, peace to Islam.
Now don't get us wrong, cause we don't.
somewhere or other, this must end, and it has a little announcer tag that says, you're listening to the Peter Werby Show at 1-800-TALK-YES. World Gone Mad from the Beastie Boys. I'm Peter Werby. Welcome back. And we're going to hear Jim Hightower and then Sally Booker, who is Executive Director of Africa Action. We're going to talk about the G8 meetings over in France. But right now, America's favorite populist, Jim Hightower on the Peter Werby Show.
Woody Allen said, I believe there's something out there watching over us. Unfortunately, it's the government. More specifically, it's TIA, the Total Information Awareness Surveillance System being run by John Poindexter. He's the infamous felon who was convicted of lying to Congress about his illegal role in the Iran-Contra scandal. Full of arrogance, he even declared that it was his, quote, duty to lie. Now, Poindexter is back as the Dr. Strangelove of the Pentagon. TIA is a new super snooper agency that's creating a massive computerized network that can electronically snoop through the millions of personal transactions that we make daily, compiling secret profiles about our actions and storing all of this in what they call, quote, a virtual centralized grand database. It's Big Brother incarnate. In addition to all of our financial, medical, and other private data, TIA also wants to collect a database of our personal identifying characteristics, not only including fingerprints, but also a new bit of personal data, the way we walk. Orwell would love this. It seems that we all have unique movements as we walk, what the surveillance industry calls gait signatures. So, with Pentagon funding, researchers at Georgia Tech are using radar, video, and computers to develop a system that will let Poindexter's TIA record and store in its grand database our individual gates. Yet another way for Big Brother to keep watch over us. Of course, Poindexter asserts that this is all about chasing terrorists and that we innocent citizens should have no concern that we might end up in his computer. But wait a minute. How do they define terrorist? And isn't this the guy who says it's his duty to lie to us? This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop this latest Strangelovian intrusion into our privacy, call the Electronic Privacy Information Center, 202-483-1140.
Thank you very much. Jim Hightower, regular feature every day here on the Peter Werby Show. At this time, you can go to jimhightower.com. Let's go to Sally Booker. And welcome back, Sally. Thank you for joining us on the Peter Werby Show.
Thanks for having me on, Peter.
And Sally Booker is the Executive Director of Africa Action and the G8, Group of Eight. There's a summit meeting going on right now, and they're talking a lot about putting war and dispute behind us and concentrating on ending poverty. The concern, obviously, of Africa Action is the state of that continent. And so one would think this would presage some action on their part.
Well, one would hope so, but this is becoming a bit of a tradition. This is a meeting, an annual meeting of the small club of the world's richest seven countries, plus Russia, because they've got lots of nuclear weapons. And for the last several years, Africa's always been prominently on the agenda, but it seems as almost as if the Africans are invited to dinner sort of to show that there's a compassionate side to these rich countries. But most of the time they spend talking about their corporate interests in the global economy and its growth. And most recently at this particular summit, of course, the U.S. is pushing along with Britain to get the group to adopt a statement saying that terrorism and the spread of weapons of mass destruction are the preeminent threats to international security. On the other hand, you have the majority of the world, poor countries around the world, who understand that the greatest threats to international security are poverty, are inadequate access to human rights and to labor rights, and most of all, perhaps, this great public health crisis, the HIV/AIDS pandemic, which is a far greater global threat right now than terrorism or weapons of mass destruction in terms of the number of lives it's claiming and the number of economies and societies it's undermining. And, of course, the epicenter of the HIV/AIDS pandemic is in Africa. Now, the rich leaders did last night dine with 12 leaders from developing countries from Africa, Latin America, and Asia. And, again, this is becoming a bit of a standard sideshow at the summit as a way of showing that they do care. Brazil put forward an interesting proposal to have a new tax imposed on all international weapons sales that I'm sure caught the United States off guard as the largest arms merchant in the world. And so the demonstrators, of course, are also there. But you'll note that the G8 summit each year now, they keep going to more and more remote places and small towns that they cordon off to keep the demonstrators at a good distance, because the demonstrators each year are trying to simply symbolize that there's a majority world out there that has a different agenda.
Well, in terms of the demonstrators, I mean, it's unfortunate, and this was true to the run-up to the illegal and unnecessary war against Iraq and the occupation now, is that little of the message is ever put forth through the corporate media. Essentially, what you see are people with picket signs, and it always looks kind of chaotic. It doesn't look like it has the same legitimacy as what's going on in these you know, glass chandeliered halls. But there is a message there.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And it is very unfortunate. I mean, I was scouring the media this morning trying to get a sense of the messages from the demonstrators. And all the articles are focusing on stories of where there have been incidences of violence or vandalism or anything like that. And that's all that they talk about. They rarely talk about what are the agendas of the demonstrators. And they have very clear agendas on supporting a fair trade, changes in the World Trade Organization to benefit not just poor countries, but workers in rich countries who are also getting clobbered by the current corporate globalization.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's hard for them for us, I should say, because we're often among them, to break through. And progressives have to look at all options available to us. We need to continue demonstrations, but we also need to engage these debates in other ways, like through the media, like through your program, which is an excellent example, because it's important for people to understand that the majority of the world really does have a different agenda than that represented by George Bush or Tony Blair, or even the heads of states of the other rich countries who, you know, from time to time may differ with the United States and debate on certain aspects, but they really do represent the club of the wealthy.
Sally Booker, let's look a little at Africa again, and that's your group, Africa Action's main focus. People embedded in Western consciousness is that Africa was always poor, always beset by warfare. I mean, they had been victimized by slavery in the beginning in the 17th century and what have you. So it's always pretty much been a basket case, and the idea that the West is responsible in some way for alleviating that suffering doesn't always resonate so well, because you have some people say, "Oh, we're giving away everything now. You know, we can't afford to help anyone else." It's sort of seen like a charity work that
right.
That we should be involved in.
Well, you're right. The problem is ignorance and false perceptions. Africa suddenly becomes the prop that policymakers use when they want to show the compassionate heart of conservatism. President Bush used Africa in his State of the Union address, a speech that was almost entirely devoted to preparing the American people to go to war in an unjustified war against Iraq, but he used Africa as a prop to say, but on the other hand, look at this act of mercy I'm prepared to do to increase funding to fight HIV/AIDS in Africa. So you're right, there's this problem of perceptions. Now that does appeal, that charitable approach does appeal to certain constituencies in the United States. Others say, well, why should we be doing that over there when we have problems at home? And this is often part of, you know, how they divide and rule those of us who actually should find common cause. Africa is a huge continent. It's not a basket case. It's almost four times the size of the United States, 800 million people. It has some very serious challenges to address, like conflict and poverty and the HIV/AIDS pandemic, but it's not accidental. It's a consequence of several centuries of history where the continent has been exploited by countries that are now wealthy, in part because of their impoverishment of Africa. But Africans are also trying to advance their own agendas of development, of seeking peace and conflict resolution. But right now, the biggest challenge they face is, in fact, this public health crisis of HIV/AIDS. It's killing some 3 million people a year. That's the size of the entire population of Chicago on an annual basis. And in large part because they don't have access to the anti-AIDS medicines that can save lives, and that's because the big pharmaceutical companies don't want to give up their patents. They don't want to have, generic producers competing with them, and they place profits over people's lives. And that's a major part of why Africans, are not advancing in this struggle, is because the U.S. government is so intent on supporting its friends in the pharmaceutical sector.
Ultimately, when you look at the world, whether it's the United States or the Detroit area where I'm broadcasting from, or the world, it's about distribution of income. So you have an incredibly wealthy tier, even though people aren't sharing in it as much as perhaps they once did here. But there's enough wealth to exist. Enough wealth exists in this world so that all of the travail that Africa and other so-called third world countries suffer would be needless. Yet this wealth is parked in the hands of these men administering it that are at the G8 conference. I mean, that's something that's a little bit more difficult to address than freeing up medicine.
Well, you're right. And it really falls to those of us who live in these wealthy countries like the U.S. or France, Britain, Germany, Canada, Japan, Italy, to organize and to make sure that the governments of our countries are representing not just the interests of corporations, but the interests of the vast majority of working people in these countries, and then can move to act on international priorities that are real priorities. I mean, what's happening with the G8 summit? It really is an effort to try and define, well, what are the world's priorities going to be, and how are these wealthy countries going to spend those resources? It's like you say, the wealth exists. But if the U.S. is spending that wealth on war on Iraq or on all kinds of new increases in Pentagon spending, then that's money that's not available either for health care here at home or for promoting broader health care globally. It really is about who sets these priorities. And at present, the Bush administration and his other allies at the G8 summit are saying we really need to spend money on combating terrorism and the spread of weapons of mass destruction. And so they've created this great fear, and it allows them to give the Pentagon some $300 billion every year. The Congress just passed a couple of months ago this supplemental bill for $79 billion more for the Pentagon for the war on Iraq, and yet they're not providing these kinds of resources for real global problems like the AIDS pandemic or combating poverty. And therein lies the challenge. And of course, we're facing it right here in the United States. It all has to do with who are we going to elect to be our representatives, whether it's in Detroit at the level of the city representation or Michigan State representation in Congress, or who's going to be president. I mean, it's citizens in this country have an obligation not just to ourselves, but to the world to make sure that we have more representative government here.
Well, Sally Booker, I want to thank you for being with us, but a final question. I have to say, even with the worldwide opposition to elite rule that we see growing all the time, in the short run, it doesn't look very hopeful. The state of affairs, the worldwide corruption, the worldwide defense of wealth and privilege is not challenged at the level that needs to be quickly addressed because there's lives in the balance. I would say, you tell me if you feel differently about this. I mean, I agree with you what you said about the political system, but in many ways, I see this the outpouring of citizen indignation in direct action as being extraordinarily important.
Oh, I agree. I think it's absolutely important. And no, you're right. It's a bleak picture, and we try to remain optimistic because it's in part necessary for us, to do our work and our work of mobilizing and encouraging people to take direct action. It's not just through the electoral system that we're going to have change. As you can see, what has happened with our current set of elected and unelected representatives, and I think direct action is increasing. I think political action that's independent of the two dominant political parties is also increasing. And so there are signs like that do give us hope. And of course, the scale of the anti-war activities and the growth of a peace movement here hopefully is a harbinger of a much larger social movement developing in this country that can bring about the kind of changes we need.
Well, thank you so much, and for your good work as well through your organization, Africa Action. You can go to, if you're on the Internet, to africaaction.org. That's africaaction.org, and I'll put that up on my website later in the afternoon, or in the evening, I guess. Sally Booker, thank you so much for having joined me on the Peter Werby Show.
Thank you, Peter, for having me.
Appreciate it. And, yeah, that my website, by the way, is Peter Werby, PeterWerbe.com. One of the things that occurred and was that you had this specter of George Bush appearing at Auschwitz, which was the scene of the extermination of 1.5 million European Jews and other people who the Nazis decided were unfit to live. And this is particularly ironic. I'll tell you a bit about that. Why is it ironic that George W. Bush should appear at Auschwitz, where the Nazis were at their most lethal? Some of you who listen regularly to the Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network probably know this, because he calls the Republican Party the American Nazi Party and doesn't mean it just as an insult. More on that when we come back. Jalene Jordan will rejoin me. You can as well. 1-800-TALK-YES.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like
go,
cool.
Yeah. Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
It's a doggone shame the way the big boss plays the game. It's a doggone shame. It's the place the game. They work you like a mule. They treat you like a dog.
It's a doggone shame.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Now it's my turn. Hi, Peter Werby back with you, Jalene Jordan back as well.
Yes.
And if you go to my website, peterwerby.com, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E, there's a brand new posting there from mopaul.com, and you can start at my site or go right to his. Actually, I don't think you find this right away. And it's got a photograph of George and Laura at Auschwitz, and there's this terrible photo to the left of it, kind of as a montage of these stacks of bodies that were incinerated at Auschwitz. And superimposed is the head of Prescott Bush, Bush's grandfather.
Oh. Yeah.
And it says, George Bush visits Auschwitz, Poland, where his grandfather, Prescott, became very wealthy off the labor of slaves. And then it's got kind of something I actually don't want to say on the air. But it says, click here for Bush Nazi ties. And you get this article from Clamor Magazine, C-L-A-M-O-R.
Oh, I forgot about that magazine.
Yeah, they're good folks. I used to write for them.
Much so.
Yeah, Jason and Jen, if you're listening, hello, down there in Bowling Green, Ohio. They're going to have actually sort of an underground press conference, although I don't think they call it that anymore. Anyways, according to classified documents from Dutch intelligence and U.S. government archives, Bush's grandfather, Prescott, made considerable profits off Auschwitz slave labor. The story is quite involved and certainly not enough time to tell about it here.
But there's a definite connection.
Yeah, and Bush,
actual connection.
And Bush is an heir to that money that was placed in a blind trust 23 years ago by his father, the former president. So it's all this monstrous racket, and increasingly the emphasis is on the adjective monstrous. You can also see this animation on my website at peterwerby.com saying the history of the Bush family, and it's from takebackthemedia.com. Let's see real quickly if we can get Dave from Silverdale, Washington on. Dave, you got about 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Shizzle, my radio host, Izzle.
Oh, my.
We don't want to go there anymore, Dave.
Well, I could talk about that all day, actually, because I've studied racial relations in this country.
Wonderful. But
interesting. But UrbanDictionary.com.
I went there.
We went there.
Okay. You know, Bill Gates, to talk about the wealth thing, has more assets than 40% of the world's poorest people.
That's right.
Literally billions of people. And if Americans were facing a similar thing where rich people were coming here getting our resources, we would overwhelmingly elect the first person who promised to go get that back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to look at the double standards we promote.
Yeah, I think you're right.
For sure.
All right, thank you, Dave. Thanks for joining us at 1-800-TALK-YES. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, we've got about two more hours of great talk and conversation. Your calls at 1-800-TALK-YES. Guests and me and Jalene Jordan. I'm Peter Werby. Stay tuned, please.
Been listening to the Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Jalene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. Accused serial bomber Eric Robert Rudolph will soon be on his way to Birmingham, Alabama for the first of two trials he faces. Don Dornberg reports.
In a hearing this morning in federal court in Asheville, North Carolina, Eric Robert Rudolph said he would not fight extradition. Bob Conrad, the prosecutor for Western North Carolina, says Rudolph will be transported to Birmingham.
For security reasons, we cannot provide you with any more information as to when or how that compliance will occur.
Rudolph spoke only briefly, saying, "Yes, Your Honor," when he was asked by the judge if he understood the charges and his rights. Reporting from Asheville, North Carolina, I'm Don Dornberg.
A split Federal Communications Commission has approved a relaxation of media ownership rules. On a 3-2 vote, the FCC approved removing many restrictions on the multiple ownership of newspapers, radio, and TV stations in large cities. Commissioners split along party lines, with three Republicans in favor of the deregulation and two Democrats opposed. Opponents are likely to carry the fight to Congress and the courts. President Bush has left the G8 summit in France in order to travel to the Middle East, where he will hold discussions on the implementation of the U.S.-backed roadmap for peace. Bush is scheduled to meet with Arab leaders tomorrow in Egypt before sitting down with both the Israeli and Palestinian prime ministers on Wednesday. A hearing is underway in Fairfax County, Virginia, to determine whether a change of venue is in order for the trial of Washington, D.C. area sniper suspect Lee Boyd Malvo. Malvo's defense attorneys want the trial moved, claiming it would be next to impossible to find a juror who was not terrorized by Malvo's alleged random shooting spree last October. More news after this.
Hey, Larry, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Why, Vince, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, but I'm looking for a baby.
Oh, but, Vince, we're crash dummies.
Well, your head's about the size of a baby. What are you doing? Taking it off!
Stop!
I'm using your head in a rear-facing infant seat.
Why?
To show how babies up front are in airbag danger.
You know I get sick when I ride backwards and without a body.
Up in front, kids won't know what hit them when the airbag blows.
Then why do people put their kids up front, Vince?
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better to see them sitting by their side. Although, if my baby looked like you, he'd ride in the truck.
Hey, where are we going, Vince?
You know that brick wall with the big bullseye?
Oh, I can see it vaguely in the back of my mind.
Well, in 2 seconds, that's exactly where it's going to be. Holy cow, Larry, you're embedded in the seat.
Fire iron!
I can't understand you. I'll go get a tire iron.
Thank you.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your kids in the back seat. A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
According to new statistics, spending on new construction dropped unexpectedly for the month of April. It slipped 0.3% to its lowest level since December. The fall marks the third straight decline in new construction, which now stands at an annual rate of $862 billion. The monthly survey reports a decline in both single-family home construction and non-residential construction numbers. More news after this.
You don't want to be late for your golf lesson, or else you'll never learn how to outdrive your girlfriend. So you probably want to make something quick for dinner. Think fast, think eggs. Like poached eggs over French bread topped with your favorite chunky salsa. They're delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So you make it on time, the pro adjusts your grip, and now you're driving the ball 250 yards. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast, think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Scott Peterson is scheduled to appear in court this week in California for more hearings on the motions in the murder case against him. Peterson is accused of killing his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn child. Prosecutors are expected to ask the judge to unseal autopsy reports and ask that the trial be moved to a different venue. Democratic presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich is proposing a new farm policy to focus on the family farmer. The plan would ban livestock ownership by meatpacking companies, increase federal spending for regional food processing centers, conservation and environmental protection measures. Kucinich supports union organization by farmers to compete with large agribusiness companies. Sleep deprivation may hit you harder if you wake up early in the morning rather than go to bed late. Stanford University researchers say most people feel less tired sleeping from 2 until 6 in the morning than from 10 p.m. till 2 in the morning. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ah, running whitewater rapids. What a thrilling spring sport. In a raft. But in a car, it's a ride that may literally take your breath away. When I come back, I'll bail you out.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
No one intentionally confuses cars for recreational rafts. But if you find yourself in a stream of late-melting snows or heavy spring rains, remember the kid's toy, a pogo stick, P-O-G-O. P, pop seat belts, after you go in water because they protect you on impact. O, open the window quickly, especially if you have power windows. G-O, get out. No explanation necessary. So make sure your whitewater adventure is with a guide and a paddle. Heed warnings of washed out roads. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everybody. And hey, you know, Jalene Jordan, welcome back to you, of course. I didn't even get a chance to stop talking right over you.
What do you mean?
I said, welcome back, and you were talking, and I was just, all right, so sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. Is it? Okay.
Sure.
Let's move on. You're used to it, is what you're saying. I can hear that in your voice.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Anyways, I didn't get a chance to thank all the wonderful people in and around Nashville, Tennessee, where I spent Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that were so hospitable to me. And it was good to get to know some of the listeners down there and everything. So.
Well, good.
Thank you, folks. So what have we learned so far? The Federal Communications Commission, absolutely motivated by this corrupt decision-making process, where the son of a key Bush gang player chairs the group that makes this important decision, came down completely on party lines, 3-2, three Republicans voting against two Democrats. And this would now allow for this centralization of media to the point where it becomes a single medium, a unitary voice of power, and limits further the debate. I mean, if that's possible. I mean,
yeah, really?
Yeah.
It's bad enough.
Yeah.
It was bad enough yesterday. You know?
And now we're going to.
With these new regulations being relaxed, or regulations sure. being with new relaxations.
Which could mean you'll live in a town where one company. This will be like. So the whole. Remember, they used to have this phrase, company towns, which meant that a particular company controlled everything. It controlled employment, controlled the economy, controlled communication. And this is what's going to happen for the entirety of the United States. This is the Bush racket. This is how this system, instead of having an economy or a political system, will simply be governed, ruled by a racket. And the people in government are racketeers. They have all the good rhetoric about freedom and peace and what have you, but it almost is like 1984. Remember, Jillian, everything is sort of its opposite. War is peace, right?
Yeah.
All that.
Really bizarre.
Yeah. Now, the G8 summit leaders, that's the group of eight, these are the people that are ruling the world, essentially, and have made a complete and total mess of it. They've managed to, they're sort of like embezzlers, somebody that's in, embezzling from a company, and some of the like chief sure. operating officers, maybe like Enron, because they're doing just fine. All some parts of the G8 countries, certainly the G8 leaders themselves are all multimillionaires, in some cases billionaires, like the head of Italy, and whereas the people at the bottom are in these situations of poverty and starvation and pandemic disease, and shouldn't they all be fired?
Yes.
I mean, all we have to do is look at the state of the world and realize that the people that are meeting over in Switzerland are not up to the task. And that is being, I think, kind of polite towards them in a way, because they have no interest in changing the state of things. They might want to do a little band-aiding, maybe a few bucks here and there for the tens of millions of people suffering from AIDS. They may want to relieve a little debt. But what
the Bush's money that he gives to those different plights, it's a joke.
Yeah.
And anyone who works in the field of AIDS, they've told us that we know it. It's right out there for us.
Window dressing. So what his solution, Bush's solution, pushing genetically modified crops that people are so frightened of properly in Europe, fearful that not only can they endanger human health, but they could it could cause unforeseen genetic damage to the environment. Oh, what the hell? Let's just go ahead, right?
Yeah.
All these genetically altered plants, we have no idea what they're going to do. But but let's just go ahead.
Yeah, because it's food, right?
Mm-hmm.
According to him.
And that's what.
Any further.
So cynical is Bush. He uses the problem of hunger in the world to promote these genetically modified crops. Now, the reason he's doing it is not because he cares one whit.
It's another racket.
Yeah, because his pals in the big agribusinesses in the United States are barred from these parts of the world from introducing these risky crops. Why are they risky? Because there's a risk, because we don't know what the long-term effect is going to be of introducing genetically altered species into the wild. Well, one of the things I advise people, I don't know whether people ever, I don't know why they should. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I'm this great oracle that people should, heed. But in terms of advice, no more powerful than the person sitting next to you at any given time, is I said, when we as a people are in the midst of some crisis or war or what have you, to not always make real fast decisions based on what you hear in the mainstream and corporate press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
so.
Advice.
So, I mean, here we had all of this information that Iraq had these weapons of mass destruction, right?
Oh, yeah.
Then that we were liberating these people.
Yeah.
And it was all just going quite swimmingly to the point where these folks have issued a Operation Freedom colorized JFK half dollar. that they're selling for $20. What they've done is to take this, a coin, that half-dollar coin,
uh-huh.
and it's legal tender, and then they've colorized it as a tribute to the men and women of our armed services, and they have the inscription, quote, "May God bless our country and all who defend her," which is the closing remark from George Bush's stirring speech to the nation and the world on March 19th, the day the war against Iraq started. Now, I think you covered this, didn't you, last week? Why we started on March 19th, why, you know, it was this rush to war,
right?
Remember, didn't you? I thought you told me about this, that this was because we had this wonderful intelligence information that Saddam Hussein and the whole leadership group of Iraq was in this bunker in the middle of Baghdad.
Oh yeah, and I know that the Baghdad bunker never existed.
That's right.
Sure.
Just like the weapons of mass destruction, this was a crisis. How many times do I have to say this? That was invented cynically and manipulatively by the Bush operatives to carry out probably 15 different things. But most importantly, actually the most immediate thing was to make sure that George W. Bush's poll numbers didn't keep dropping in August of 2002, and to understand that when Bush went into the elections of 2002 in November, that he was going to be a man addressing the question of war and terrorism. Because that's the only time that he can show any popularity whatsoever, right?
Yeah, true.
They were frightened that somehow or other that they were not going to be able to carry out this war because there was mass opposition. All of this
it was a big lie.
It was a big lie, and people were beginning to expose it. Hey, you were putting forth at the United Nations what? Forged information. In fact, there's a report out. Let me see if I can find this real quickly. And yeah, in U.S. News and World Report, they had one of these rehearsals like they do, like they have for presidential debates. And they Colin Powell was practicing his speech. And at one point, this is U.S. News and World Report. This is the most conservative of the three news weeklies, the big ones. At one point during the rehearsal, Powell tossed several pages in the air. He declared, "I'm not reading this. This is bullshit." Right?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it was that bad.
Wow.
Now, we also have this information that Paul Wolfowitz, who is the Deputy Defense Secretary, he gave an interview to Vanity Fair magazine, and he said that there was one justification that was, quote, almost unnoticed but huge, and that was the prospect of the United Nations being able to withdraw all of its forces from Saudi Arabia, which was probably one of the major reasons for this war. The first one, I don't even know if they rank order them. There was long-range plans to invade and occupy Iraq for its oil, its strategic reserves, the immediate deal of the elections, and also this kind of stuff. Because, you know, in many ways, Bush has agreed to Osama bin Laden's demands. Get out of Saudi Arabia. Now, Paul Wolfowitz is saying this is one of the reasons that we did this. We needed this war in order to have other bases. Now, Osama bin Laden doesn't care about Iraq. He hated Saddam Hussein because he's a secularist, but he revers Saudi Arabia as the Holy Land. The other thing is end the sanctions against Iraq. The United States introduced legislation to end that. And the other thing was to stop siding with Israel in the Israeli-Palestinian dispute. And now Bush at least is giving the appearance of being at it even-handedly with his roadmap, which we say is the roadmap to nowhere. Let's see, there's more and more on this. Actually, this was in the front page of the Detroit Free Press on Saturday. Motive for war is called in doubt. Some of George W. Bush's top advisors who had hoped the war in Iraq would be the turning point in the battle against terrorism, and get this, Jolene, the centerpiece of the president's reelection campaign.
Oh, really?
People die so Iraq can be the centerpiece of the president's reelection campaign.
Wow.
Thousands and thousands of Iraqi civilians have died. Tens of thousands of Iraqis have suffered severe injuries and casualties, maimed for life. And imagine the children, what they've experienced, the fear, the terror from this absolutely unnecessary, illegal war that is fought in part to be the centerpiece of George W. Bush's reelection campaign. Of course, he never was elected.
It's so criminal.
Yeah. You know what? It is criminal. Thank you. He should be impeached. Yeah. There should be a special prosecutor. We don't need $60 million to look about, to find out who the president is dorking. He's dorking, the current one is dorking the American people and the world.
Yeah.
And he is a war criminal. Thousands of people have died. I'm sitting here, we never get anything in the U.S. media about, casualties from the people that have been killed. But I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at these men who have died. These are American soldiers. Edward Anguano, William Watkins, Andrew Arnold, Robert William, Alan Lamb, Roy Buckley, and on and on and on. These are people that have died since the end of the war.
All in the name of a big lie.
Yeah. And the article is, as the fighting continues in Iraq, some back home wonder, why are people dying? And these people, some of them, like a man from Michigan, William Payne, 46 years old. In fact, most of the men here seem to be in their, I guess there's a smattering of both. People 39 years old, 31. And this continues because of the miscalculation of the Bush administration. Now, how can we, and you've probably seen all this stuff here from the Independent of London, weapons of mass destruction, just a convenient excuse for war, admits Wolfowitz. Motive for war is called in doubt. Press looks at failure to find banned weapons. This is about England. British newspapers have said that Blair's assertion that Iraq had unconventional weapons, it would activate within 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they're
so
not
precise of him, huh?
So Bush said, we found it. We found those weapons of mass destruction, these empty vans that they cannot find any traces of chemical warfare in. Now, these aren't weapons, folks. Even if they were mobile chemical development laboratories or whatever, they're not weapons. There was no need to rush into battle other than the fact that Bush was afraid that world opinion was moving quickly against him, that people were beginning to understand that this was a monstrous lie. Again, emphasis on the adjective monstrous. Tens of thousands of people have died and been injured because of Bush's lie. More on this when we come back. Peter Werby here with you and Jalene Jordan. We're at 1-800-TALK-YES. Your opinions, please. And also more on Iraqi troops are threatening attacks on U.S. forces, including suicide bombing. I thought we paid them off.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet.
We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HD TV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
They're the great deceivers. They'll fool you any way they can. They'll take away your rights. Then call you an evil man.
Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers. Whoa.
Great deceivers.
Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers. Whoa.
They said they had compassion. They gave you a ration. The Bill of Rights, their passion. Your check, they be cashing. Ha-ha! They fooled you again. It's a faith-based disgrace they got in place. Woo-hoo. And the planet, they're destroying it. Well, I hope you're enjoying it.
Ha-ha! Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Back with Jalene Jordan. What a perfect song for these segments, right? The Great Deceivers, the Bush Gang.
I like that one. Rob Moitoza, is that right?
That's right. And you go to my website, Peter Werby, PeterWerbe.com, and see more of Rob's work. This is from Ron. He wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com, quoting from Shakespeare, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And all of these, the words right out of the gangsters running the government. This is Dick Cheney. Simply stated, there is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. George Bush, right now Iraq is expanding and improving facilities that were used for the production of biological weapons.
Mm-hmm,
Ari
sure.
Fleischer, if he declares he has none, then we'll know that Saddam Hussein is once again misleading the world.
Yeah, they just made it impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. Our intelligence officials, according to George W. Bush, estimate that Saddam Hussein has the materials to produce as much as 500 tons of sarin, mustard, and VX nerve gas.
Okay, where's that?
Yeah. Colin Powell, we know that Saddam Hussein is determined to keep his weapons of mass destruction, is determined to make more. And it just goes, I'm going to, link this up. Yeah. All right, let's go to John in Santa Fe. John's listening to KTRC. Hi, John. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan.
Hi, Peter and Jalene. Hi.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I read the rest of that article that you quoted a minute ago in the Kansas City Star.
Which one's that now?
The one about Wolfowitz and they were baiting and switching the reason for the war.
Yeah, the fact they never really believed it.
I heard, it seems to me I read later in that article that they were saying, this war was going to give them a chance to remove U.S. troops from Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, that's one of their big goals.
Wasn't stated ahead of time. I don't remember anybody ever telling us that that was the plan ahead of time, do you?
No, I don't, John. And I don't think anybody there was some information out about I'm forgetting. Was it Program for a New American Century?
That's
a scary sight, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very scary.
You got that.
Yeah, you have to really go to the man who has influenced all of the Wolfowitzes and Cheneys and Richard Pearls, a man named Strauss, Leo Strauss.
Uh-huh.
And this might be too, I don't think we can really get into it right now, but Leo Strauss was a political philosopher that died in 1973. And I'll just read one sentence from him. According to Seymour Hersh, who wrote about him, said that people like Wolfowitz believe the world to be a place where, quote, isolated liberal democracies live in constant danger from hostile elements abroad and where policy advisors may have to deceive their own public and even their rulers in order to protect their countries.
Yow.
So there it all is. They are the great deceivers.
Right. I believe that.
And also, John, they are so arrogant. They are so intoxicated with the power and the death machine that they wield that they feel that, we can just lay this raid out for people. All right, John, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us at 1-800-TALK-YES. I think we can take one more call when we come back, and then we'll get to our guest, Danny Schechter. And we're going to talk about a day that'll live in infamy. That's today. The Federal Communications Commission just turned the country's media over to the Republican Party. We'll be right back.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Flight attendants with Southwest Airlines began demonstrations at airports in Texas last week as contract talks turned to issues of pay.
We're just out at the airport doing a friendly demonstration. We have been in contract negotiations for over a year, and we're trying to negotiate a contract that will enable our Southwest Airlines flight attendants to continue providing the excellent customer service that they have for 33 years.
Tom McDaniel of Transport Workers Union Local 556 says Southwest flight attendants should be paid for all the time they spend on the job rather than simply time spent in the air.
We spend several hours a day working, turning the airplanes and cleaning the airplanes for which we're not paid for.
McDaniel says the transport workers hope to resolve economic issues in the next 60 days. Median pay for Southwest flight attendants is less than $25,000 a year, a rate 20% below the industry average, making Southwest's flight attendants among the lowest paid in the U.S. airline industry.
A new report from a Delhi-based labor rights group says India's tea industry is in a state of near collapse. Faced with increased exports from Indonesia and Vietnam, which has depressed the global market price of tea by nearly one-third over the last 5 years, tea plantations in India have slowly been failing. Now the Center for Education and Communication reports that since the price of tea began falling, more than 60,000 people have been thrown out of work, and workers on at least 9 plantations haven't been paid since October of 2000. As a result, some plantations are being looted as workers divide up this year's crops among themselves as payment. The average daily wage for Indian tea plantation hands is about $1.60. The CEC says if the tea industry would first guarantee the basic living needs of plantation workers, it would go a long way to both increasing production and improving the quality of the crops.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot. Welcome back. Yeah. Thanks again to Ron Mills. He's in Broward County, Florida, and he has a Democratic Victory Network. You can go to democraticvictory.net, and he sent me all these quotes about weapons of mass destruction. Remember, I was mentioning some of them before the break. Dick Cheney saying, simply stated, there is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. And George Bush said in February, we have sources that tell us that Saddam Hussein recently authorized Iraqi field commanders to use chemical weapons, the very weapons the dictator tells us he does not have. George Bush on March 17th, intelligence gathered by this and other governments leaves no doubt that the Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever found. These are weapons, folks, too. They're not like barrels of stuff they're talking about. These are weapons ready to use. That's why the United States had to violate international law, commit a crime against peace, had to circumvent, destroy the United Nations credibility by once, you know, remember that deal when Bush couldn't get the majority that he wanted, just simply going to war anyways. And the reason for the war was a lie, and the first shot was a lie. They were going to bomb Saddam Hussein in this bunker. Turns out, no bunker. They just destroyed a Baghdad neighborhood. General Tommy Franks, March 22nd. There's no doubt that the regime, all these words, there's no doubt that the regime of Saddam Hussein possesses weapons of mass destruction. And as this operation continues, those weapons will be identified, found, along with the people who have produced them and who guard them. Defense Policy Board member Kenneth Edelman, another draft dodger from the Vietnam War. I have no doubt we're going to find some big stores of weapons of mass destruction. Donald Rumsfeld, Darth Rumsfeld, the minister for war. We know where they are. They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad and east, west, south, and north somewhat. This is Donald Rumsfeld lying to the American people on March 30th. We know where the weapons of mass destruction are. They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad and east, west, south, and north somewhat. All right, we're going to get to Danny Schechter, the news dissector, to talk about the Federal Communications Commission decision in just a minute. But here's Philip from Florida. Philip, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, I want to get back to this FCC thing.
Sure.
Lou Dobbs on CNN interviewed the chairman. It was obviously a softball interview. You know, they're under strict rules to do that. But I sure wish he would have said, tell me, how did you get your job?
Very
interesting. He could have said, my daddy got it for me.
Yeah, I mean, there is such nepotism.
But he didn't just get him a job on the FCC. He got him the chairmanship.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is amazing. I mean, as I'm saying, the level of corruption in this gangster regime is unbelievable. And one thing that people should realize, it's not just some ethical indignation on my part. We're all having either our pockets picked by these folks, or we are developing Pravda. Truth. This, according to the Republican administration, that has a Bush internal circle operative's son making the final rule. Hey, I got my guest on the line, so thank you.
One quick thing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Bill Clinton had nominated, given the job to Roger Clinton?
There you go.
Can you imagine the uproar?
Hey, they got in an uproar about who he was having sex with. Not that he was starting wars, destroying the environment, and on and on and on.
And there's one thing that...
Philip, I got to go. I got to get my guest. Thank you so much. It's my old friend Danny Schechter, the news dissector. Danny Schechter, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, pleased to be with you. This is quite a dark day for American media, actually.
I've been saying it's a day that will live in infamy.
I wrote that in my column this morning. Beat you to it. But yes, I agree.
I probably stole it from you.
I agree. You know, what's troubling about it, on the one hand, is that it took so long for the media itself to start reporting on this issue that it all came down so quickly, you know, that many people didn't really have time to think it through or get engaged on the issue.
Or realize what the implications of it are.
Right, exactly. So that's one of the problems. See, you know, the other problem is that I think, you know, this is not over yet. You know, I mean, on the one hand, you know, it appears as if the forces of trying to democratize our media in some way have been dealt a serious blow. On the other hand, so many people have gotten involved despite the lack of media attention. I was on a program with Michael Copps, one of the FCC commissioners, who was telling me that they received 750,000 comments, most of them critical of this proposed measure. And he's saying that this is the beginning, you know, the end of the beginning, but the beginning of a new beginning, if you will, because I think it's clear that the media consolidation that we've seen and concentration that we've seen is having a terrible effect on our democracy in terms of both our elections and also, of course, the coverage of crises like the war in Iraq.
Now, Danny Schechter, who is joining me, is the executive director of Media Channel. You can go to mediachannel.org, and Danny's most recent book is Media Wars, News at a Time of Terror. He's spent news director of commercial radio for 10 years and a producer at ABC and CNN. I'm reading, you know, I'm dyslexic, so I read backwards. I mean, for real.
Well, we can tell people that we first met in Detroit in the 60s. I was actually assistant to the mayor. I was the intern before Monica, you know.
That's right, and we were both 12 years old.
But, you know, the problem that we're facing today is how do you have a vibrant debate in our society or in our culture if only one side of that debate can get heard? You know, if the range of opinion expressed in the media is from A to B, you know, when conservative Democrats and conservative Republicans dominate, you know, the spectrum, and the appearance is given that we have two different points of view, when in fact what we're hearing are variants of one point of view. And that's what's frightening. And this effort by the FCC to give more power to the people who already have power, to allow them to buy more stations, control more media outlets, is just putting a chokehold on the whole notion of what a free press and a free media is theoretically supposed to be about.
Well, tell us a little, what this could all lead to in terms of centralization of ownership more.
Well, you know, what we've seen already, you know, some 20 years ago, Ben Magnickian wrote a book called Media Monopoly, and he spoke about 50 companies which dominated the media then. He was concerned about it. When he did a revised version of this a few years ago, it was down to under 10 companies. Now it's sort of 5 to 7 major media players. And what this means is that the range of ownership and control resides within a relatively few hands. A lot of these companies are interconnected with each other. They have strategic alliances. They do deals with each other. They basically share the assumptions of all the others. They compete by imitating and cloning each other's programming. So, you know, we have the appearance of a lot of choices, but very few voices. I mean, you have hundreds of cable outlets. 6 companies control them all. And so when you try to get on the air with something new, something different, you don't even have much of a chance to bring that to the attention of the American people. And, you know, so the situation we have right now is pretty bad, but it's going to get worse with these FCC regulations, this kind of giveaway, which gives, you know, the rich more, you know. And I think what I hope it will be is a wake-up call to people in trade unions, people in social movements, that media has to become an issue, not just a complaint, not just something to whine about, you know. It has to become something to do something about, to try to promote media accountability and responsibility. And that means diversity of viewpoint, really fair and balanced news, not of the Fox News, you know, variety, but you know, something that really comes closer to world standards of journalism and the like. And we've been moving rapidly in the other direction. That's my big complaint, my big worry.
Well, sure, Danny Schechter. And to some extent, it is absolutely imperative for the Bush regime to send us in that direction. Just look at the amazing mass opposition to Bush's run-up to the illegal and unnecessary war against Iraq. If we would have had a newspaper and television situation as they do in England, for instance, even England, I don't think there would have been a war here.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Krugman, writing in the New York Times, commented on why the English response to this war was so massive, and part of it was because they have a media system which at least gives more expression and bigger platform for more points of view. When you only have one point of view coming at you all the time, that has a kind of chilling effect, a deadening effect on democracy. And that's, you know, one of the big problems here. But, you know, beyond that problem, you know, what we saw was that despite the media coverage, despite it all, people were reaching out and were speaking up. And so you have to ask them, where did you get your news? I was just on the air with Michael Copps, one of the FCC commissioners, and he was talking about how what surprised him in all the hearings that they've been having across the country is how many people told him that they got their news from the BBC, that they weren't even watching American
right.
news, and that when there was a hearing in Phoenix, many of the people who went to it found out about it on BBC, not on ABC.
Well,
you know? So what does that say about our media system?
Yeah, Danny, you're the executive director of MediaChannel.org, and it provides news. It also is a media activist site, and there's lots of other media groups like TakeBackTheMedia.org and others. What role are you and others playing in this?
Well, I mean, I think that a couple of years ago, activists even, people who were engaged in social change, you know, kind of advocacy, saw media as a way to achieve their goals. They, you know, get on the media, talk about your issues, reach out to America. And so PR firms and others tried to do that. And they realized that the media was not the solution. It was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That the media itself needed to be reformed and changed. The media needs to be confronted and held accountable and responsible. And when you begin to realize that, then your critique is broader and deeper, and you begin to reach out and think about how can we influence this monster? How do we bring it under control? You know, one way is through independent alternative media, programs like yours, Peter, which I think do give voice to a lot of people. I mean, later today, I'm going to be on the air in South Africa and in Canada, you know, who are very interested in these issues. You know, it's ironic that it's hard to get on the air on American TV, although I've been on Moneyline, on CNN, I've been on some other outlets, but by and large, folks with more critical point of view don't get on the air. And instead, what we see is the same sort of zomboid pundits, you know, week after week and day after day, you know, kind of white men in suits who very rarely diverge at all from the consensus.
Now, Clear Channel is the great boogeyman, but when I use that phrase boogeyman, that's sort of an assertion that it's something fancifully fearful. Could you imagine the worst case scenario that this new FCC ruling will mean for these huge media conglomerates like Clear Channel?
Clear Channel is a radio company. In 1996, it had 43 stations. After the telecommunications so-called reform bill, it had 1,248 stations. So it has tremendous market power, and it's moving into England right now. People there are resisting its entree into that marketplace. You know, and what happens is usually, you know, local news goes out the back door, program playlists, centrally created programming, you know, people who send around memos saying, hey, there's a war threatening, maybe it would be a better idea not to play John Lennon's song Imagine, you know, and other kinds of, you know, proto-censorship, and more centralized kind of management and control. That doesn't mean every Clear Channel station is like that. It doesn't mean that all of them are organizing rallies for the war, but quite a few of them did. And I think that's a dangerous situation. It also gives them the capacity with so many stations and so many markets to have an effective monopoly stranglehold. That doesn't mean they use it all the time, but they could use it, and that's what's dangerous.
You think there's any possibility? I mean, I was just listening. A couple Democratic senators were saying that Congress may have to step in to pass legislation to undo what the FCC has done.
I mean, I'd like to... You know, on Wednesday, Senator McCain's committee, the Commerce Committee, is going to be meeting and hearing and grilling all the FCC commissioners. So there is resistance emerging. 150 congressmen spoke out about this. But, the Democrats certainly don't have the power. This is a bipartisan issue, so maybe some, non-Democrats will jump into the fray here. But, the problem is that most of our politicians are a part of the media system. They spend all their time raising money to buy ads in the media. They're complete captives of the media. They don't want to criticize the media because they're afraid maybe they won't get that 15 seconds of fame, that sound bite that they were hoping to get on the air. And so, generally they shy away, from being critical of media at all. And they know that media has a great power, in a sense, to punish. So that's a big issue and a big problem. That means that the campaign finance scandal, the media is very complicit in it because most of the money raised for politics goes back into the media.
Sure.
So, that's why Congress, while an important target, we have to go build a much deeper grassroots concern, to move on the media, press the press for fairer coverage, and more responsibility.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, as usual. It's always a pleasure, even when you're bringing bad news. But I think the good news is that there are sources out there like MediaChannel.org and TakeBackTheMedia.org. Also,
and I just want to just add one thing. I hope that your listeners might want to check out my book, Media Wars, News at a Time of Terror, because it gives you a sense of just what's happened since September 11th in the media, how the media has changed and become more patriotically correct and more closed to other points of view.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in some ways I was remiss in not mentioning that. In fact, why don't I do this? I forgot that since Jalene Jordan, our producer, set this up, I'm going to have her call you. Maybe we can do a separate show talking even
about... But I'd love to do it. I'd love to come back on. Peter, keep up the great work that you're doing. And I hope that, you can build a more visible platform in the media system because we need you, man.
Thank you, Danny.
Okay, bye now.
All right, bye-bye. Danny Schechter, an old friend of mine. He calls himself Danny Schechter, the News Dissector. And you go to MediaChannel.org, good source of information. And when I've been looking, for instance, at what's going on with these demonstrations against the G8, the Group of Eight, these essentially bandit chieftains that are talking about how to maintain their control over the world's economy. I mean, they give a few pittance, a few dollars, none of which they've earned, of course, to people that are starving, people suffering the pandemic of AIDS and what have you. I'm not going to go to Yahoo. You go to Yahoo, and what do they show you? The back. This will get all of you to go. I know the backside of a naked woman with an anti-G8 slogan written on it. I mean, it was a cool photo and all that. Kind of made me chuckle. But you have to go to like indymedia.org, INDY, indymedia.org to get some real solid information. I'll be right back. I'm Peter Werby.
People do it every day.
I can play.
I can coach.
I can listen.
They do the simple, everyday things that can do the most to keep a kid off drugs. It's a fact. Kids who have something to do are less likely to do drugs. So if you can spare an hour or two,
you can keep a kid off drugs.
To find out about community drug prevention groups, call toll-free 1-877-KIDS-313. 1-877-KIDS-313. A public service message from the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered.
If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now. 1-800-823-0157.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities, call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy? Welcome
to Nebraska.
How are you doing? We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys are having way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, I actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Talking about a day that'll live in infamy. Now, the media of this country becoming the medium of propaganda for
Pravda.
Pravda.
Right here in the United States.
That's right. Hi, Jalene Jordan.
Hi, Peter.
Did you talk about, of course, you weren't on the air on Friday, were you?
No.
Yeah.
I was not.
But this happened on Friday, so I wonder if this was covered. But Sean Penn, he published
full-page ad in the New York Times.
4,000 words.
Wow.
You know how much this may have cost him?
A lot.
$135,000.
I was going to say more. I was going to say several hundred thousand dollars. But isn't it sad that he has to spend the money to try to, whatever, clear his name?
Or justify the fact that he went to Iraq in December. Of course, he was correct. The whole anti-war movement was correct. And as we see the situation in that country beginning to disintegrate, it's worse and worse and worse daily. It's not getting better and better and better.
And think about when he went, he was on a pretty much fact-finding humanitarian mission with our friend Norman Solomon from the Institute for Public Accuracy Norman took him over there. So it just people have it all wrong. They're mm-hmm. so brainwashed. It's just really pretty sad.
And he was reviled as a traitor. Here's what he said in part in his ad. Our flag has been waving, it seems, in servicing a regime change sufficiently benefiting U.S. corporations. Now here, you know, they say, what do these movie stars know? Well, this guy knows it cold.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he said, let's see, he questioned whether rebuilding the nation would benefit, quote, people of either Iraq or the United States. In fact, next hour might get into a little bit more of the consequences of liberation. Most of the clones that just, you know, yes, sir, you know, whatever, that that still don't realize what a scam this attack and occupation of Iraq is, they're saying, well, you know, at least the country's liberated. Well, maybe there were no weapons of mass destruction. Anyways.
Yeah, they're probably saying over there, if this is liberation, we don't want it.
Well, they are saying increasing numbers, we don't want it. Penn, in his New York Times ad, said the U.S. claims that an invasion was necessary over fears of Iraq's weapons of mass destruction were false. He wrote, we found that our Secretary of State presented plagiarized and fictitious evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq to the American people in the world. Could we turn that down considerably? Thank you. Any responsible person must ask in whose hands our flag now waves and what perception the world may have of it in those hands. We found that our Secretary of State presented plagiarized and fictitious evidence in Iraq to the American people and to the world. We see Bechtel, we see Halliburton, we see Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, we see dead Iraqi civilians, we see no weapons of mass destruction. We see chaos in the Baghdad streets.
That Sean Penn sure is a smart one, isn't
he? Yeah, but no weapons of mass destruction. We see the disappearance of a murderous Iraqi dictator who relented his struggle and ran without use of weapons of mass destruction. Bush lied. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan will be right back.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate you, kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. Suspected serial bomber Eric Robert Rudolph is in Alabama to face charges in connection with a 1998 abortion clinic bombing. He was flown to Birmingham in FBI custody after waiving his extradition rights this morning in North Carolina. He's been ordered to stand trial in two states in connection with a deadly abortion clinic attack in Birmingham and three other bombings in Atlanta, Georgia. President Bush is on his way to Egypt to start a series of Mideast peace summits. He'll attend a meeting with Arab leaders in Egypt tomorrow and push his roadmap for peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians in Jordan on Wednesday. Navy officials are investigating a mystery in the Persian Gulf. Two small boats carrying four U.S. soldiers and at least three civilians vanished near the Iraqi coast over the weekend. They were on their way to pick up oil workers from the port of Faw. Several protesters disrupted the end of a Federal Communications Commission hearing on the relaxation of media ownership rules.
This meeting is adjourned.
Democratic opponents warn that rule changes will lead to putting a handful of powerful people in charge of what millions see, hear, and read. China reported no new cases of SARS today. Celia Hatton reports.
Chinese officials announced two new deaths.
but both were outside of Beijing, allowing the Chinese capital to celebrate the first day since the start of the outbreak in which no new cases or deaths were reported. Beijing has already cut the number of SARS-only hospitals in the city from 16 to 7, although theaters, swimming pools, and dance clubs remain closed. More than 5,300 people have been infected with SARS in China since the disease first emerged in the southern province of Guangdong last November. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
More in a moment.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it, because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor, because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
Analysts on Wall Street are hoping that a lineup of economic reports due out this week will help keep a spring rally steaming along. Since March, the major market averages have all climbed steadily higher, with the NASDAQ putting together four winning months in a row. Analysts are keeping their fingers crossed that stocks can keep climbing higher. This week, investors will study reports on the manufacturing and service sectors, factory outlets, and unemployment. More news after this.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Atlantic hurricane season officially kicked off yesterday, and weather experts say it could be a busy one. Officials at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration say there could be between 11 and 15 tropical storms this year. As many as 9 of them could be hurricanes, with 2 to 4 classified as major. Europe's first mission to Mars is blasting into space. David Southwood, director of the European Space Agency, says the mission aims to answer several questions about Mars.
Was there life once on Mars? Did something catastrophic happen to Mars that stopped life on Mars? Or was just the very little difference in background, the difference in the amount of light the sun gave, really all that made the difference?
Later this year, the United States plans to send 2 robotic probes to Mars. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. No hitters, mid-court shots, and quarterback blitzes all make for a doozy of a game. But did you know doozy originates not in the world of sports, but in the world of automobiles? When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
When something's a real doozy, it's spectacular, larger than life. Just like the car that coined the expression. In the 1920s, the classic Model J Duesenberg, with its long ornamental hood and speed of 125 miles an hour, was considered a standard of excellence. Its name, Duesenberg, was shortened to doozy to describe anything top-notch. The stock market crash of 29 took the high-priced luxury car off the assembly line, but the expression has survived. Now, I hope you have a doozy of a day. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
I got to turn my mic on, don't I? Hi, thank you very much. Hi, Jalene Jordan.
Good job.
It's so weird. You can do this for decades, and every once in a while I'm going, wait a minute, why can't I hear myself? Because I didn't turn the microphone on.
Those basic things that we were supposed to learn in Radio 101.
Right. Well, today, Federal Communications Commission, under the directorship of Michael Powell, just coincidentally related to Colin Powell, passed new rules allowing the media giants to control even more of what we hear. So this is going to be bad, folks. Essentially, what we have now is Pravda. Now, let's see here.
And for those who don't know what that is, that would have been the one voice, the Russian newspaper.
Yeah, the communist. I think they had a couple. They had Izvestia and Pravda. I'm not sure why they had. They had at least two. And I think Pravda is truth. What's Izvestia then? Okay, here you go. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. What does Izvestia and what does Pravda mean? I think Pravda is truth. Yeah, because they have Pravda. When someone's talking, you know, people give that kind of assent, yeah, like it's true.
But our webmaster isn't around because he is he speaks Russian.
Yeah,
and he's married to a woman from Russia.
Where is he?
He got a big job.
Oh.
So he's working hard.
I hate when that happens.
I know.
Yeah. Anyways, JB writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. 60 channels and all but two are worthless. In this house, we are down to watching C-SPAN and PBS only, period. Right now, we are discussing disconnecting the cable. Now, one thing that you can get, I don't have cable, so it's not an issue with me.
I have satellite. I have all the bells and whistles.
You have satellite?
Yeah.
So can you get, free speech TV?
No, I can't get that.
Oh.
I think that was something that you could only get on the Dish Network. We have DirecTV, but Dish Network is the one that offers that.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's what Sydney writes in, listening in North Carolina. On May 29th, the FCC website crashed, preventing people from voicing their opinion against a vote that would lead to more media consolidations. I tried several times to get through to voice my view. The website finally came back up after it was too late.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So let me see if there's more.
There are a lot of people who even those who watch, you know, and get their gather from the mainstream media. This FCC and ownership topic is a pretty hot one, and a lot of people really do know about it.
Well, that's good. That's excellent that people do know about it. The other thing we've been talking about, as usual, and it's because it's so important to know that the government of the United States, George W. Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, all the rest of them, all lied about the existence of weapons of mass destruction.
And once again, they truly were just weapons of mass discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one.
Mr. Phillip writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Now, what am I talking about? Did I say that right?
Well,
I don't think so. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I have so many email addresses.
You have way too many.
Yeah, I do. He says Richard Nixon ran on a platform that he had a, quote, secret plan to end the war in Vietnam. This was in 1968, 1972. I'm forgetting everything. Anyways, it was completely secret. Of course, there was no plan other than Operation Linebacker, which meant bombing with B-52s back into the Stone Age. And Mr. Phillip writes, people forget the Nixon lie, and unfortunately, they will forget the weapons of mass destruction lie as well. I don't know.
Not if they listen to this show.
That's right.
We're not letting it go.
All right. Here's some Russian for us. Mike, listening in Washington, D.C. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hey, Peter, Jalene, how you doing?
Hi.
Mike, welcome.
Okay. To explain, first, Pravda is truth. Izvestia is news.
Oh, okay.
And they used to have a wonderful old saying in Russian about "U pravda нет известия, и у известия нету правды." In other words, there is no truth in the news, and there is no news in the truth.
There you go. And this is what's exactly happening.
Yes.
In the American medium. Now, one thing, let me know what you think about this, Mike. Maybe we'll get to the point with how many of us have already come to this point, is that the Russian people had that sensibility. So if they saw something stated in Pravda or Izvestia, they knew the opposite was true.
Like in 1984.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it's sort of like there's another cute little tale about how the news is framed, which is what we're getting. Back in the 50s, there was a match between the USSR and the U.S. I think it was in track and field. And the Russians lost. The news in Izvestia was the U.S. comes in second, next to last.
Huh? Oh, really?
It is technically true. They did come in next to last.
Yeah.
Wow. Basically,
there were only two of them.
That's very good. Thank you, Mike.
Sure.
I appreciate
really
it. Yeah.
And thanks for the Russian lesson. We need that.
And I was saying last hour, the hour before, how I had urged people not to make big decisions about this Iraq situation until all the evidence was in that this, even with the quick victory of the United States forces over the Iraqi army, the shadow army that represented no threat to anyone.
If we couldn't have had victory over the Iraqi army, well, then we're wasting a lot of money on defense.
Yeah, well,
please.
Now, way back on May 24th, the chief of the army, let me see who is he. I guess you're talking about General Tommy Franks here. Senior Iraqi officers who commanded troops crucial to the defense of key Iraqi cities were bribed not to fight by American special forces, the U.S. general in charge of the war has confirmed. Well before hostilities started, special forces troops and intelligence agents paid sums of money to a number of Iraqi officers whose support was deemed important to a swift, low-casualty victory, which on one hand is okay. It probably did reduce the number of deaths. Unfortunately, there were any number of patriotic Iraqis who weren't in on the racket who rushed at these mechanized divisions from the United States and Britain invading their country when they had pickup trucks and Kalashnikovs and just got killed in the thousands.
What's a Kalashnikov?
An automatic, an AK-47, an automatic rifle. Yeah,
okay.
Good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I did not know.
I had letters from Iraqi generals, says Tommy Frank, saying, I now work for you. But, okay. But now what's happened, thousands of Iraqi soldiers that have been fired by the U.S.-led administration are threatening to launch suicide attacks on American troops in Baghdad unless they're paid wages and compensation.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
More payoffs.
Karari Jassim, a former warrant officer, said, all of us will become suicide bombers. I will turn my six daughters into bombs to kill the Americans.
Well, isn't it just wonderful what we've done over there for those people?
Yeah, we're liberating. This is liberation. Paul Bremer, the U.S. civilian administrator for Iraq. Now, how did he get to be the civil administrator? Well, I guess George W. Bush.
Remember the other guy?
Hey, whatever happened to him?
Telling the truth, wasn't he?
Well, I mean, how soon we forget.
He was the other...
Garner? Jay Garner, yeah.
Jay Garner was basically coming out with some statements that weren't right in line with G.W. Bush's regime.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, get him out, get someone in who's going to think like us, you know?
Now, Paul Bremer just fired last month 400,000 Iraqis. You're out of here. They're the armed forces,
Whoa.
The security bodies, and the defense ministry. So you can say, well, wait a minute, this was part of the Ba'ath structure, the party ruling Iraq. But on the other hand, this is many protesters, and this was just yesterday. Or in fact, it was today, earlier today, because they're so much ahead of us, in Baghdad. And they said they couldn't feed their families. Sabah Abdullah, also a former warrant officer, said, I have only 60 U.S. cents in my pocket. How can I feed my family? I have a crippled child who needs medicines.
Oh. Well, Peter, didn't we lift those sanctions?
Yeah.
I mean, they should be fine now.
Protesters carried banners calling for the swift formation of an elected Iraqi government, something the U.S. is resisting, the immediate payment of salaries to former soldiers, and a halt to any moves to form a force to replace the army. And in another move, they're leaving, by the way, they're leaving all the automatic weapons in the hands of the Iraqi people because they're armed to the teeth. This ought to make the National Rifle Association, the NRA, very happy.
Yeah. Swing.
Yeah. Now, Mohammed Karim, who has been in the army all his life, he says America should treat us as it treats employees of other ministries. They come to humiliate us. We do not fear America or Britain. The million members of the army are able to use a million rifles on U.S. troops, but we do not want harm. Wow. Wow.
What a mess.
On the other hand, as we kind of continue along here, where's this other stuff? Oh, yeah. Cluster bombs are now littering Iraq. The United States was besieged by the people doing anti-cluster bomb work throughout the world.
And this is all in relation to depleted uranium, right?
No, that's another question. I mean, okay. It goes on and on. These are just these little bomblets that have these that land and often don't explode. And then,
oh, right.
Then thousands and thousands of children particularly for some reason, but farmers, women, all over the world where there's been wars with cluster bombs. Many
lose
of them,
limbs and
yeah,
lives.
Yeah. So, you know, they can't, of course, figure out where they were. Depleted uranium, that's going to be another problem completely.
Already is, yeah, right.
Well, let me see. Where this might be the half-inch thick about how U.S. insiders say Iraq intelligence deliberately skewed. I just got so many things here. Troops attacked in Baghdad in fresh signs of resistance. Gunmen firing rocket-propelled grenades and assault rifles attacked an American military convoy late today. In other words, get out.
Yeah.
But the United States is also denying the Red Cross access to POWs. The arrogance in defying international law, that if it was done to the United States, remember what every once in a while some United States trooper will get captured and already United States talking about war crimes and all of this.
Yeah.
Imagine what's going on, like at Guantanamo Bay, where these people have been held for, going on 2 years. And this here.
I know.
Yeah, it says, this is from The Observer in London. Red Cross denied access to POWs. Up to 3,000 Iraqis, some of them civilians, believed to be gagged, bound, hooded, and beaten at U.S. camps close to Baghdad airport.
And this is currently?
Yeah. They're being held in these tents that where temperatures are now over 105.
There was
a mutiny last week by prisoners at an airport compound against conditions, and the uprising, quote, was dealt with by the Americans, according to a U.S. military source. Now, as far as I know, gagging, binding, and putting hoods over the heads of prisoners is absolutely a violation of international law. It's a war crime.
Yeah, it's a war crime. Yet We Bush has exempted the United States from any war crimes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part.
Remember that little thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. God.
Also, photos raise allegations of torture. A British soldier has been arrested after he left a roll of film at a photo store in London that showed an Iraqi prisoner being tortured. The film depicted a bound and gagged Iraqi inside a net that was suspended from a forklift. This is according to The Sun. The Sun is a Murdoch paper, a Rupert Murdoch paper, right-wing paper that supported the war. The Sun also reported the role included pictures of soldiers performing sex acts near Iraqi prisoners.
What?
This is all over the internet. Yeah, there's a big, you can go, I think just to this, probably, I don't know what it would be, thesun.uk. If you want to see more on this, there's article after article.
Is there a little bit of testosterone going on over there?
So, and there's cases of United States troops doing graffiti on monuments, not of Saddam Hussein. This is a nightmare, folks. This is one we warned you about, and you believed Foxhole News, if you did. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, word 1-800-TALK-YES. Hey, Eat the Rich is next.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
In case you thought Washington couldn't get one whit weirder, meet John Graham. He's been installed by George W. as the czar of federal regulations, and his unstated assignment is to weaken or kill any rule designed to protect your and my health and well-being if that rule is deemed by big corporations to be too strong, too inconvenient, or, worst of all, too effective. Graham is a notorious right-wing laissez-faire nutball who has made a career fronting for corporations that want to escape our nation's health, labor, environmental, and other laws. Through a corporate-funded outfit he calls the Harvard Institute of Risk Assessment, he has given raw corporate greed quasi-academic cover by issuing studies claiming that, say, an anti-pollution rule protecting people's health has to be balanced against a polluting corporation's need for profit. How nutty is this guy? Graham recently engineered a Bush change in America's environmental policy, decreeing that henceforth any regulation to limit pollution should consider the relative monetary value of people's lives based on their age. For example, instead of basing clean air enforcement on the assumption that all lives saved by clean air are worth the same, Graham wants to rig the rules so that older people's lives are discounted in value. He's even got a price tag for you. If you're under 70, you're worth $3.7 million. But if you're older than that, he knocks down your value to only $2.3 million. This new Bush policy has been dubbed the Senior Death Discount, and it is so unprincipled and nutty that the head of the EPA has publicly disowned it, saying EPA will not, I repeat not, use an age-adjusted analysis in decision-making. Graham, however, says that while the Senior Death Discount will not be applied now, he still will push it as official Bush policy. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop this kook, check out the National Resources Defense Council, NRDC.org.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much, and welcome back, Jalene Jordan. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
Although I thought we had a little special segment with a little introduction to this segment, all written and produced.
What the hell?
Because this is a regular segment on the Peter Werbe Show, and it happens at 4:24 every Monday, and where I ask you, the listener, to send in. Well, samples are examples of the class war being practiced by the rich against us, the rest of the population, the middle class and the working class. And we've been trying to get away by not giving out any prizes. And we're not getting that many entries. So
That's pretty sad.
We'll try the bribe route. And if we don't get a lot of responses, maybe we won't do it anymore.
Here we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, we got to do what we got to do. Because, I said, no prizes for this, so we won't. Well, here's the deal. What people are sending in is not the excesses of the wealthy. Because remember, someone won the other week, and what was it, Adrian, what's her name, Rich? the Mark Rich's wife.
Denise Rich,
right, who was traveled with her personal yoga instructor.
Right.
And then her remarks about that. Instead, this is good enough. I mean, I like to talk about this, but I don't know. It's your show, too. You can define it how you like. Anyways, send your entries to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And this week's the winner is Stan Morris. He's from Lexington. How come I can't say that?
Lexington.
Kentucky. Right. And essentially, it's about blessed are the poor. They don't get tax cuts. And a new study by groups critical of the tax law that Bush just signed into law on Wednesday found out that 8 million mostly low-income taxpayers are going to receive absolutely nothing. Right?
Right.
They're going to get zero. And here's what's happening. The Republicans decided that the working poor, and, you know, most of them don't pay any income taxes. They've got, and you can imagine this, working a whole year and getting $10,500. So between $10,500 and $26,625, they're not going to receive the expanded child tax credit. So almost 12 million children were effectively denied stipends of up to $400.
Your parents don't make enough. We don't give them a break.
So this saves $3.5 billion. Yeah, exactly. It's backwards. So families of rich kids are going to get this $400, right?
Yeah.
And if you're a poor kid, you don't get it.
This makes no sense to me.
That's why we say eat the rich, because they're eating us. They're gobbling us alive. We work and work and work, and it all goes to the greed heads.
Yeah.
All right, Stan Morris of Lexington, Kentucky. Your prizes, we should have a little
drum roll.
Is Tom Hartman's book, Unequal Protection.
Hey,
yeah.
Good.
We interviewed Tom about that before he was a talk show host on the IE America radio network. And his book is called Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. So it's.
I haven't read that either. I need to get. Maybe I should call him. Since we're on the same network, maybe he'll give me my very own copy.
Yes. But is he listening, you think?
I don't know.
I haven't read it either.
We want to read it.
It's on my to-read pile, and I know the argument, essentially, is that now, after a sort of non-Supreme Court decision back in the 1880s, corporations were able to claim the same protections as individuals, so you know, like freedom of speech and all of that. And this has led to this awful situation where there's unequal taxes, unequal accountability for crime, unequal influence. This is from the back of his book. Unequal privacy and unequal access to natural resources and our commons. And this is what has happened. And Tom lays it out pretty well. You go to his website, TomHartman.com, and he has a special spelling. But, you know, he's got so many spellings that you can spell it any way you want.
And you'll get there.
Yeah. All right. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Here is Pat. Pat, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Hi. Welcome.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Doing good. Where are you calling from?
Santa Fe.
Welcome.
How are you doing?
Yeah, well, you get in. We've traded greetings. I got to put you on hold, though, because I'll get right back to you. All right.
Thank you.
And then for all of you who say that U.S. is number one, well, U.S. is number one again. This time in terms of incarcerated people, we'll have a guest on that subject after we talk to Pat. I'll be right back. I'm Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
Bacteria and chemicals hide in clouds of dust that cross the oceans. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Every year, windstorms lift as much as 2 billion metric tons of dust into the atmosphere. As much as 3/4 of this dust comes from the region around the Sahara Desert in North Africa. Tropical trade winds carry it across the Atlantic Ocean, and with the dust come microscopic organisms and traces of pesticides. Dale Griffin is an environmental microbiologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. He studies this airborne dust to determine its origins and what's riding along with it. Griffin says the dust itself can cause health problems, but he says it carries other stuff that also puts people and ecosystems at risk.
Other types of substances that could cause potential problems are toxins such as herbicides and pesticides that may be transported along with these soils.
Powerful pesticides that include DDT are used in parts of Africa. Griffin says byproducts of these chemicals can compromise the immune systems of mammals. That means the use of these chemicals in Africa might have an impact on ecosystems clear across the Atlantic Ocean. Griffin says that's especially true when the chemicals are combined with airborne pathogens.
Where you maybe always had dust transport through time, bringing over, you know, a fraction of the total microbial population. What you didn't have before and why it may be a problem now is you are having toxic chemicals being transported along with it that are lowering immune response to these pathogens. So where they weren't a problem before, they're a problem now.
Research is continuing into the impact of this material on the health of people, coral reefs, and ecosystems on land and at sea. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Hey, the United States number one. People are always saying that. Unfortunately, we're using number one in things that aren't too pleasant. Like, we now have a record-setting 2 million people locked up in American jails and prison. We're going to talk to a guest about this right after we take our caller, Pat, listening to KTRC in Santa Fe. Hi, Pat. Peter Werby here with you.
Good to be back. Hey, I guess I'd like to get sick about once a day. I was just surfing through the channels. I was listening to Rush. And the whole issue about the people making so much money or only making so much money not being eligible for that tax credit.
Uh-huh.
Well, his reason it was if the liberals would have passed that bill originally when it was $700 billion, they would have gotten it. So
it's
the liberals' fault.
I see. Well, it is.
It's not our fault. I mean, it's not the Democrat or Republicans' fault. Of course, it's liberals' fault.
Well, here's the deal, Pat. And the function of Rush and these other right-wing freaks is to provide information and excuses like that for this section of the population that probably is no more than a third that are in this constant polemic against reality. So when you look at something like this and you think, man, that's kind of bad. I mean, in other words, rich kids are going to get $400 on this tax break and the poor kids aren't. How do we, you know, and then they're going, well, I better turn on Rush. And you go, oh, well, all right.
Well, there you go. Right. And he sells it and people buy it.
Well,
it's
people,
crazy.
You know what? People don't. I mean, we have a, I think that's kind of imprecise, if you'll permit me. Here's what I mean by that, Pat. You may have heard me say this before about the Lincoln dictum, about you can fool all the people some of the
time.
And some of the people all the time. Well, the people that listen to Rush are the some of the people that you can fool all the time, and they represent about a third of every nation. And, you know, they can be very dangerous, as we've seen, when they organize and mobilize like they are now. So I don't mean to discount them, but what they essentially want is information, messages from their masters to justify things as they are.
Well, they did. They spun it, and, you know, they got a lot of people saying, you know, the Democrats are whining again for something they did on their own, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't think, you know, it's going to be them. Hey, I got to get my guest. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Thanks for joining me. And let's welcome Mark Fowler. Mark Maurer. He's the executive. Can I start again, Mark?
Sure enough. Go
okay.
ahead.
Let's welcome Mark Maurer. He's the assistant director of the Sentencing Project in Washington, D.C. And what we want to talk about is the fact that the United States has now more people locked up per capita, actually absolutely, as well as any nation in the world, the highest percentage of citizens behind bars. Not very, not much to be proud of.
No, it's not, and especially ironic, and here we are in a society that's the wealthiest country in human history, and yet for some reason we've got a record prison population. That doesn't really you know, speak very well towards our social policies, it seems to me.
Well, how about this? David Mulhausen, he's a policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation. He says if you put someone in prison, you can be sure they're not going to rob you. Quality research shows that increasing incarceration decreases crime, and interestingly, he says there are still about 12 million serious crimes, and he says maybe we're not incarcerating enough people. In other words, if we're only got 2 million people in jail, there's 12 million crimes. He says that maybe this prison industrial complex ought to be extended.
Well, if you look at how we've extended this complex over the last 20 years, it's been largely by locking up lower-level drug offenders. In 1980, we had 40,000 people in prison and jail for drug offense. Today, we have 10 times that number, almost a half million people locked up for drug offense. And while a relative handful of them are the, you know, kingpins of the drug trade, flying in drugs by the plane load from South America, the vast majority are there because they're lower-level users, addicts, sellers, people on street corners. And despite the fact we've locked up tens of thousands of them, the drug problem is still out there. Drug prices are falling. So if you wanted to have an impact out of spending $20,000 a year to keep someone locked up, we haven't seen very much there.
Well, these Heritage Foundation people, I guess I would invoke the old dictum about figures don't lie, but liars can figure. And so probably what's not included in there is what serious crimes are he, what is he referring to? I mean, probably all of us either have experienced or know of crimes that have been committed, including murder. I know someone whose daughter was murdered and the person was never apprehended. So we know that this is the industrial nation with the highest number of crimes, and the Heritage Foundation guy says, let's throw more people in jail. I don't even know if they can. I mean, part of it is law enforcement, right?
Well, you've got to catch people, for one thing, and stuff. You can't just put people in jail if they haven't been convicted. So, you know, unless you want to live in a police state and have a cop on every corner, you know, the sad fact is, you're not going to catch everybody accused of committing a crime. It really also is a very narrow point of view about how you achieve public safety. You know, when people raise their kids, they don't usually do it by threatening, you know, to keep the kids locked in detention in their room. You do it through positive rewards and development. And it's very similar with crime. You know, so rather than waiting till, you know, millions of people get a drug habit and addiction stuff, shouldn't we be investing in prevention and treatment programs? We know that those can be very effective in terms of reducing demand, reducing the problems of addiction. If you want to just wait until you have lots of people with drug problems and lock them up, that seems like a sort of depressing approach to social problems, and it's also not very cost effective.
When we talk about this extraordinary figure now of almost 2 million men, women, and children locked up, is it almost exclusively the poor?
Well, disproportionately, it certainly is. If you look at a whole set of indicators, people dropped out of high school. We know three-quarters of the people in prison have a history of substance abuse. One of every six has a history of mental illness. Half the women in prison have been physically or sexually abused. We see a very distressing portrait of a whole series of social economic problems coming together. Now, This doesn't mean people haven't committed a crime. There shouldn't be consequences. But it does suggest if you really want to do something about providing public safety, you need to be intervening well before somebody's convicted in court and sent off to prison. That's a pretty, you know, this, that's a, not the primary way you'd want to approach this normally.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we were talking with a caller right before you, who I think you heard, Pat from Santa Fe, and he was talking about how everything is always blamed on the liberals, and I would suspect that some conservatives would be listening to Mark Maurer and think, well, yeah, there they go, making excuses for criminals, and this is individual behavior. People should take the responsibility for the acts they choose, and in what I hear is a subtext of what you're saying is we ought to be softer on these people.
Well, no, I absolutely believe there should be consequences if people violate the law, when your kids mess up, whatever it is. I don't have any problem with that. The problem is we've got very different kinds of approaches depending on who you are. If you're a family in the suburbs and you find out your kid has got a drug problem, most parents are not going to call up the chief of police and say, would you please come and arrest my kid? He's got a drug problem. Instead, they're going to call up their friends who are social workers and say, what's the best treatment program I can get my kid into? Now, if we're talking about a kid in a low-income community where those same treatment resources aren't available to that extent, we're much more likely to see somebody call the cops and the prosecutors and begin to call that a criminal justice problem rather than a social problem or health problem. Now, if you're in drug treatment, yeah, you've got to be adhere to a very rigorous program, take it very seriously, but you're in treatment. You're not in jail. So we have the same problem, but depending on who you are, which community you live in, we have very different approaches to it. And I think that sort of disparity doesn't speak well in terms of our overall approach to these issues.
When we were discussing earlier about the poor being disproportionately represented in the prison population, everything from the quality of criminal justice that they receive and, you know, availability to lawyers and what have you, we begin to look at a situation where it makes a lot of sense. The more poor there are, the more crime there is. I don't know why they always have these great studies as to what creates crime. I mean, we know in where people don't live in dire circumstances, there is that much less crime. So eventually we get to the way wealth and power is distributed in this society.
Well, much of it gets to that. And, of course, you know, the majority of poor people don't commit crimes, and conversely, many rich people do commit crimes. But you're absolutely right that the stresses, the lack of connections, everything that goes along with poverty in the society very much has a connection, or at least encourages more people to be engaged in crime. You know, if you are coming from a middle-class community and you've got a kid who needs a summer job, middle-class people have those kinds of connections. They get their kids involved in constructive stuff. In low-income neighborhoods, you're not going to have that same level of connections. You're not going to have the same quality schools. You're not going to have school counselors who know how to get your kid into college programs. So all the advantages, you know, that some communities get, this is not just because the people in those communities work hard. Many of them do, but they're born into some of those advantages, and conversely, many communities, you don't have those advantages. And so unless we address some of those discrepancies, it's not surprising we see some of these results in the prison system.
Mm-hmm. Mark Maurer is my guest. He's from the Sentencing Project, and we'll talk just in a minute exactly what that is. But you have a situation, for instance, with capital crimes where it's becoming increasingly obvious that the quality of justice in those cases is terrible, that we've had all of these sentences overturned. There's moratoriums in a couple of states and what have you. But what occurred to me that this isn't probably peculiar to capital punishment crimes where the poor are accused of murder, but probably the quality of justice that the poor face throughout the criminal justice system.
Well, it's absolutely true. And, you know, we know about the capital crime just because they get so much attention. These are the most heavily scrutinized offenses in the court system. And despite all that, we've seen just horrendous levels of abuse and certainly, you know, innocent people ending up on death row. So we can only begin to imagine what that looks like with cases that don't get that level of attention. You know, we know that in far too many courtrooms around the country, the first time a defendant meets his lawyer is when they come into court and he has to make a plea or go to trial or something like that. This is the reality of justice for many indigent defendants. You think of, the famous O.J. Simpson case. Regardless of what anyone thinks about his guilt or innocence, I don't know very many people who would oppose the idea that were he not a very wealthy and famous African-American man, he would have been sent off to prison and probably death row in about 20 minutes.
Sure.
He had the resources to prevent a very effective defense. Certainly that was not typical, and we all know what the outcome would have been otherwise.
I'm Peter Werbe, and my guest is Mark Maurer, and joining us from Santa Fe, listen to KTRC, is Mark, who, oh man, I just blew my guest off of the show.
No, I'm still here. Hey, Mark, and hey, Peter. Hey, Peter, thanks for having Mark on. Everything you're saying is very true. I work here at the prison in Santa Fe. And one of the big things that we also noticed, at least I was surprised by it years ago, was the level of education, the very, very low level of education, disproportionate to everyone else, that has to be considered as a factor. Is one of the things. And the other thing is, the only Republican I think I've ever agreed with in my life, Gary Johnson, on his drug issue, would be a huge, huge help to relieve the just massive problem that's just getting worse and worse, especially under the Republicans here at the prison.
And what do you do at the prison?
Psychology.
Okay. I guess we've talked before. Actually,
yeah.
When I put your call on the air, I also inadvertently hung up on our guest. Let's see. Hopefully this will work. Okay.
Okay.
And I think we have Mark Maurer back. Mark?
I'm here.
Yeah. We're talking with Mark from Santa Fe, and he is a psychologist at the prison, and he was talking about the low level of education of most of the inmates, and also echoing what you said about how most of these people are drug war inmates, or many of them are drug war inmates as well. I wonder if you had any comment on it.
Well, and also, despite what we know about what might work in some of these kinds of cases with these individuals, so many things have been done in public policy in recent years have run counter to what we know makes sense. If you look at prisons and education, 1994, Congress prohibited inmates from receiving Pell Grants for college education. Now, some inmates who have a high school degree have always been able to take community college courses that have been offered inside the prison, and the way they pay for that is through a Pell Grant. Now, at the time, prisoners were getting less than 1% of all the Pell Grant funds in the country, but in a sort of mean-spirited action, Congress took that away. Well, there's lots of research that shows the more education you have, the less likely you are to recidivate. So if we really cared about public safety issues, we'd be investing more in prison education.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where politics and public safety issues collide, and often politics wins out.
Mark from Santa Fe, any rehabilitation going on in your prison? Anything hopeful there?
Well, that's the really the good and the bad part. The only rehabilitation anyone can get, at least in this in New Mexico, is in prison. Invalidate all the other social programs that are going on in New Mexico. It's just that they're so far and few between that you're almost, when it comes down to getting an education, a free education, and getting free drug treatment and getting counseling, you can get it free in prison. Not that you'd go there to get it, but when you get out, you have had every opportunity to get programs that you're going to have to scratch for on the out.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably, it could very well be unique to a few states. I only have a minute left, so thank you, Mark from Santa Fe.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Real quickly, Mark Maurer, in fact, about 60 seconds, the Sentencing Project, tell us about that.
Well, we're a national nonprofit organization based in Washington, and we look at trends in the criminal justice system, what works, what doesn't work, the impact of prison and crime and other factors that go into that as well. If I could talk about my book,
sure.
Race to Incarcerate, documents over the last 30 years why we've had such a record prison population, and much of what we argue is that this is due to changes in public policy, basically the Get Tough movement, the war on drugs, rather than any dramatic change in crime rate. So
mm-hmm.
It's public policy. It's gotten us to this place, and I think changes in public policy could move us in a different direction as well.
Are you friendly to the phrase prison industrial complex?
Well, I think there's a lot to it. I mean, it's not an exact parallel to the military industrial complex. There's a lot of factors that are driving it along, but certainly with 2 million people behind bars, a record prison population, we're certainly in that category now, where it's a major part of this economy.
Your website for the Sentencing Project?
It's sentencing CleansingProject.org.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's not exactly anything to celebrate, being number one in the number of prisoners, but I thank you for the information.
Thanks for having me, too.
All right.
Okay.
Bye now. Mark Maurer, and he's from the Sentencing Project in Washington, D.C. We're going to be right back. I'll be joined by Jalene Jordan. I'm Peter Werby. If you'd like to get in some final comments, 1-800-TALK-YES. Hang on, please.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the one key ingredient missing from the relief of allergies that hurt? The pain reliever in Advil. Yes, Advil. New Advil Allergy Sinus is a one-of-a-kind formula that takes the pain out of allergies in a whole new way. A recent study showed that when Advil is combined with its allergy medicine, you get better relief of your worst allergy symptoms, all with less of the medicine that makes you drowsy. Advance to new Advil Allergy Sinus and stop allergies that hurt.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities, call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
More!
Yeah, too bad.
Want to find the right real estate agent for you? Come to LendingTree.com. We'll personally match you with a LendingTree certified real estate agent, provide access to home listings, even a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE or click on LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24-7, yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time. That's Eastern Time. Weekdays for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot. Joined by Jalene Jordan. Hi, Jalene.
Hello, Peter.
And you say that in a strange way.
I don't know. It's the end of the show. I'm okay. Going to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, really? What happened to...
And Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg. I thought you were giving up with Snoop Dogg after...
No, I'm going to see both of them. They're playing together.
Really?
In West Palm Beach.
Who's opening for who?
Snoop Dogg is opening up for the Chili Peppers.
Snoop is not the Peppers are bigger than the dog?
I don't know. Troy, are the Peppers bigger than the dog? He said yeah.
Yeah. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are back.
They're amazing.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're one of these bands that just has such longevity, and they continue to put out quality music
I think they're celebrating, their 20th anniversary?
Is it 20 years? Wow.
Yeah. Here's what James writes to calltalkyas@yahoo.com. We're always talking about AWOL Bush, and that's a website, awolbush.com, because, a number of vets particularly have made this point. James writes, technically, AWOL has a 30-day limit. After that, it's desertion. Please make the case. Love all your shows. Now, yeah, that's right, James, but the name of the website is Call Talk, or, I'm losing it, is, say it for me, awolbush.com. awolbush.com. And so the man who attempts at every turn to fool the American people by that, for instance, that phony stunt of landing on the aircraft carrier, that staged event. I mean, this is really galling to men who risked their lives during the Vietnam War, and Bush essentially deserted for a year. And if you don't like what I'm saying or don't think it's true, go to awolbush.com, read the article by the military guy who wrote it, and look and see that they will provide anybody that has proof that Bush actually attended in terms of his obligations to the Texas Air National Guard, they'll give you $10,000.
It just angers me so much, and I mean, you know that he's gotten away with murder basically.
That's in Iraq.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's gotten away with all kinds of crazy, ridiculous things that we all have to usually pay for, like with the law, right?
Well, when you're a rich kid, you don't have to do it.
Little rich kid.
Little rich kid. Little
protected. And
snotty rich kid.
And ends up president. God, does that make you sick?
Yeah. Bob from Tulsa, Oklahoma writes in, we were talking about weapons of mass distraction. He said, how about weapons of mass disinformation?
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Like
all right. They lied, folks. And this war, this illegal, unnecessary war and occupation, all based on a lie. And it ain't over yet. It's not going to get better. I think it's going to get worse. And this is June the 2nd. If it goes the other way, please feel free to call and remind me that I was wrong. But I'm willing to put it out there. Unfortunately, I think it's going to get worse. It'll get better. We'll be back tomorrow. Jalene Jordan and Peter Werby. Shar, thank you so much. Jalene, thank you as well. Thanks to all of you for listening. And talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a nights in a hotel or a resort or t-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news.